something. I was just waiting for that to end. But I realized that that is real.
The U.S. State Department says it's monitoring the situation. Attorney General Eric Holder, with a controversial plan to meet with news organizations, wants to discuss the surveillance of reporters.
News organizations split over whether to attend Attorney General Eric Holder, which is off the record. Discuss surveillance of reporters and seizure of their phone records. The New York Times and Associated Press, among others, declined to go. They cannot tell Americans what was discussed.
Well, I think that's a bit for this moment.
Discussions are important and productive.
NBC's Vic Radner, one of the nation's biggest pork producers, has agreed to be bought out by a Chinese company. Shanghai International Holdings plans to buy Smithfield Foods, $4.7 billion, biggest Chinese takeover from American companies, if it goes through. This is ABC News.
Well, the government seems to be
that the recording of software currently is kept confidential. You reported this. Was that your experience?
And
yes.
The entire part of the
pretty quick and easy.
Went to the website.
Really took it from there. Report software piracy confidentially, and you may go on full for it. Go online at info.nopiracy.org or call 1-888-NOPIRACY. Help protect innovation. That's call 1-888-NOPIRACY.
Coffee everybody does, but not everybody treats their coffee the way it's done. I mean, some people feel themselves a hot, steamy cup of this, but just anything in there. Get milk, one for spring. Nah, if you really love your coffee, you stir in rich, creamy coffee mate. Coffee's perfect mate, baby. This way it's been yearned for all morning long.
French, finally, I've got a name for it. ABC's Tom Rivers is part of it. The Emirates French may have invented it.
Well, they started to teach
everything. But now, the word got pushed aside. A French kiss.
But when classes done, graduation time, there's an indignation
time. The kids are so excited.
That is the new home for the Philharmonic Radio Theater, New Club, 600 A blast from the past here on Afternoon with Tracy and Friends is Jeff in Air Chair saying hello to you, all of you all that can hear us across the Mahoning Valley area and absolutely across the world on the internet, as you can hear us on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial here in the area or on WSOM 600 AM on iHeartRadio and at www.blogtalkradio.com/Tracy and Friends. You can hear us at Tracy and Friends over the internet. And we're everywhere. We're everywhere. So we ask you that you would tune in. Also, call in and voice your view. I am here today. Tracy will be in a little bit later. She's always taking care of political business. You know how that is. She's just one of those political, whatever you call them, gurus around here. And she's she's having.
I don't know about that, Jeff. You're going to have to talk with her about whether that's going to be a guru or not.
Hey, will you let me keep a job here, huh? I'm not getting paid, but at least let me keep a job.
We'll double your pay, Jeff.
All right, that's wonderful. I'll take it. But I have guests here today. I have a guest in the audience. And, of course, co-host Mark Manji is here with us today. And we have as a special guest out of Columbiana County, former state rep Craig Newbolt. And Craig probably got really not treated so greatly down that way when we had the sweep during this last election. Am I correct, sir?
Well, it was a an unusual election, I guess, and yeah, there was a sweep and
well,
some shenanigans that were going on.
Well, absolutely shenanigans, and as we look at all the things, we have about five or six different gates going on with the administration that was swept into power.
Do we have a Columbiana gate down there, Craig? I thought Columbiana was shenanigan free.
Well, we like people to think that, but we're not any purer than anybody else. We have our share of issues and things you'd like to change.
As an old Mahoning County boy, that's good to know.
Yes, it is.
We certainly have our fair share up here.
Hey, well, Craig, you were part of the House here in Ohio, and you got to see a lot of how things were working. And I'd just like to say, what do you feel about how our process is here in Ohio, as far as how it works? Did you think it needed a lot of working, or just a little bit of working? To make it better?
Well, let me start first by saying I've never been in politics until...
You served.
I served.
Mm-hmm.
And just out of growing frustration, seeing the direction that our state and country was going in is when I became involved and decided to run for the House.
Mm-hmm.
And was blessed to be elected in my first campaign. As far as changing things, yes, I think we need to change a lot. First and foremost, I think the government needs to be significantly smaller.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
At state and federal levels, and push more responsibility and authority back into the local communities.
Mm-hmm.
I think the state gets involved in way too many issues that it doesn't need to be involved with, and that just usually ends up then creating another bureaucracy and more jobs and to me, more wasted money. I mean, there were a few examples that stuck in my mind.
Yeah.
One like the bill on animal control, and
mm-hmm.
the guy committed suicide and left some wild animals
right.
go. Well, we ended up debating that, spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars about what are we going to do about these wild animals running loose in the future. Well, that was the first and only time it ever happened. And I'm sitting there thinking, how silly is this? I mean,
well, I mean, it's like if I can understand the one thing, but it's common sense after that, which we don't have. I was blessed at one time to work on an initiative by former Secretary of State Ken Blackwell.
Right.
It was called the Uncommon Sense. It was called a character initiative, but he had a book out called Uncommon Sense,
mm-hmm.
and it was about how you use common sense in, you know, a workplace and when you're in office of any sort, whether you're a hired gun or whether you're an elected official. It's about, you know, making sure that the office had its credentials. It was above board. It was honest, and it was a big thing. It really, a lot of people were starting to buy into that because you don't hear too much about people today and ethics. Okay, they don't really understand or know ethics or know ethical behavior. What makes ethical behavior? We're not really figuring it out, you know what I mean?
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think before party or anything else, we should be looking at the character of the individual.
Absolutely.
That's running for office. And is that an individual that has the right values and you can trust to make the difficult decisions?
Mm-hmm.
You may not agree with them, but at least you trust that they went through it in an orderly process that wasn't, you know, based on getting reelected. It was
right.
based on doing what you thought was in the best interest of the people of Ohio.
Very interesting.
How's the wacko factor? With someone, and that's a serious question, the wacko factor. Yeah, I have come to the conclusion as I look across the political landscape that politics attracts different kinds of people, but they can all be categorized. You've got people who want to work for the good of the country
mm-hmm.
with a firm belief. You've got people who come in with an agenda, and the ones with the agenda are the ones that are off the charts, and you get those in Washington right now. These people you can't deal with. I don't understand the attraction of these folks to politics and the attraction of the electorate to people like this.
Well, I think at the state level, it's not as bad as at the federal level.
Yeah.
I think more people, certainly on the, you know, I'm a Republican, of course, a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more... more of us were down there for the right reasons. Well, we had the largest freshman class in
mm-hmm.
state history the year I went in. And we were looking at the issues. I think a lot on the other side of the aisle were, too, although there were, you know, some that had perhaps some wacko issues. And
mm-hmm.
and on our side, too. I mean, you know,
yeah, all sides
nobody's,
yeah,
nobody's pure in this game. I mean, I get tired of the partisan issues. I remember when I first went down, I ran into a vendor, and I forget, she was in one of the Capitol buildings, and I got to talking to her, and she'd been there for decades. And I said, "Have things changed since you've been here?" And she said, "Oh, absolutely." She said, "Unfortunately, not for the better." She said, initially, there used to be a lot more openness. She, you know, the legislators might fight like cats and dogs
mm-hmm.
on the floor, but then after the session ended, they would go out and intermingle
right.
and talk off the record, talk about the issues, and try to convince each other. When I was down there, you couldn't get the other side to talk to you. I invited two of my opposite number to go to lunch from the local area so we could sit down. And the question that was posed to him was, why would we want to have lunch? And my response was, well, we're in adjoining districts. Maybe we might want to do something together.
Right.
And almost immediately the response was no. And I was shocked. I mean, absolutely shocked. We're supposed to be there for the people, not for this partisanship. And I think
right.
that's the probably the biggest issue that we have to deal with is we've got to come back together as a people and be able to address the issues, get the parties out of it. I mean, I get tired of, you know, the party saying, well, this is the way we want you to vote.
Yeah.
Now, it's okay. The thing I was pleased about with Leader Batchelder, who I tremendously respect, was he never told us to vote in a certain way. I mean, we would discuss issues, and we would know what way they would like us to vote.
Mm-hmm.
But there was never any...
arm twisting to make you.
No, and no commands. So that I thought was very refreshing.
You represented the which district, Republican rep from which district?
Well, when I was elected, it was District 1.
Okay.
It's since, you know, with redistricting, it's now District 5.
Okay. Very well. Down out of Columbiana County area.
Yeah, we're one of the few districts that is a whole county.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that you'll ever do it again?
I under the right circumstances, yes.
Okay.
I think
that would be next year.
That would be next year. Yes.
Next year would be a good year.
Those are the right circumstances for upcoming election. The circumstances.
I think so.
That's the part, the bad part. I mean, 2 years. I understand the logic of the people, and there's some very good aspects of that.
Right.
But by the same token, if you haven't served before. I mean, it takes you a couple of weeks to figure out where the bathrooms
are.
That's
great. You need 4 years to serve as that in that position. I believe, because it doesn't give you time to really do the job and put your all into the job, because once you are elected, a year later it's time to gear up to be running again.
Yes.
And that's crazy, because you can't do two. You can't serve two masters.
And especially with individuals in districts like this one that are so far away from Columbus.
Right.
I mean, we have to drive back and forth each weekend, long distances, where others can drive short distances, and most of them go home at night. I mean,
right.
Sleep in their own bed. And so they can be campaigning, theoretically, 7 days a week.
Sure, sure. And then you're sitting up there, you know. You know, you have to really watch yourself on that, pace yourself,
mm-hmm.
because that's a lot of work. Campaigning.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives.
We'll be right back.
On our own.
Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We're going to pay some bills. Be right back.
Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling. Because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our Crisis Stabilization Unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies. Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambastech.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Mom, I had the best dream.
Well, good morning to you, too.
Okay, so I was a knight. I had a sword, and our house was a castle. There was this angry dragon. It was kind of scary.
Oh, yeah?
But I protected the castle.
Oh, that's my brave little man. I'm glad our castle is safe.
Your home is your castle, and sometimes you need help defending it. The National Association of Realtors supports maintaining homeowner tax incentives because they make home ownership more affordable for more families. Learn more at houselogic.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back once again, afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Give us a call here at 1-347-945-5229 or on our local lines at 330-781-9600. And voice your view. We're talking today here on WSOM 600 AM, by the way. We are talking to former state rep Craig Newbolt out of District 1 out of Columbiana County area. And co-host Mark Mangi is here.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey. I'm trying to hang in there. Myself, Mr. Jeff, is as always pinch hitting for the we have to give her some type of title. You know,
yeah, absent radio host.
Yeah, that's what I call it—a lone stranger. I call it a lone stranger every now and then. So, but we got to get some political in it. You know. So we'll get that. No, man is a pompadour, or what? We have to find something for Tracy.
She's the talk show diva.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes, she is. But anyway, we were talking to former state rep Newbolt, who I was glad when he did make it down there because it gave another one for the good side. That's all I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen.
Whoa!
Yeah, phones will start ringing now.
Yeah, 3-0-7-8-1-9-6-0-0. Columbiana County salute. Oh, I know a few of the people down that way on the other side, and it's okay. The one thing about this area is you have a lot of postulating going on politically, which is ridiculous. In D.C., it's a bigger stake and a bigger game. These people actually control how your life is going to run locally because of states. Rule states' rights, you have to understand. States' rights can be more important than what they're doing in the federal at times. I definitely identify that and say at times. So what was the feel for what's really going? Because you said that people were kind of polarized down there. Do you think, the lady said, not always it's been that way, huh?
Correct. And a couple decades, I think she said in the past, that there tended to be more a cooperation, unofficial cooperation, maybe is the best way to put it, to talk about issues offline. So you could be frank and open and try to convince people of your side of the issue.
Right, right. You talk it out at least.
Exactly. And when I was down there, it was impossible. In my experience,
sure,
to talk to the other side, except in committee meetings, of course. And committee meetings are very formal and they're very controlled. And again, people are posturing to some degree.
Right.
Everybody, you know, a lot of people are thinking about getting reelected.
Right. And it's too short of a time, like we said and agree.
Craig, what do you think are some of the big issues? I mean, we have, up here in Northeast Ohio, we've got a lot of hot-button issues right now down in Columbus.
Right. And South Carolina, you are right. Wide open on the line, so you can talk and ask questions at any time. You know, go ahead.
Well, of course, on our side, I mean, our part of the state, the whole oil and gas and fracking is became a major topic down there. The governor's desire to raise the severance tax on oil and gas,
right,
which I disagreed with
and
vocally spoke my mind on that issue, because I think if we're going to increase the volume, we're going to get a lot more money. If we do anything to decrease
the volume.
The volume, by such as increasing the taxes, then the net may not be that much greater, if that makes sense. And I had an opportunity to get very close, or I shouldn't say close, but understanding-wise of the issues with the oil and gas people. And there are plenty of other places they can go. And the governor thinks they're bluffing. And
they're not bluffing.
I don't think they're bluffing either.
Explain the severance tax to folks. They might not know what you're talking about with that.
Well, severance tax is the tax that the driller pays to the state for, I think it's based on every barrel of oil that comes out of the ground. So it's like we pay, you know, we as individuals pay a tax when we put the gasoline in the car. Well, when the drillers bring the gas and oil out of the ground, then they pay a tax to the state, basically for the right, if you will, to drill that.
Right. Now, how much of a tax per barrel is this? And will it, was it enough to significantly alter the cost per barrel of what was coming out?
Well, based on the original estimates of how much oil and gas the industry was estimating to be in Ohio, or primarily eastern Ohio. I mean, the Bakken, what field are we in? Bakken's in Texas. But anyway, the field that Ohio's in kind of peters out about a third of the way across the state, although that seems to come and go a little bit as the geologists do more work, because really nobody had done a great deal of research, and the only way you can do the research is drill a hole.
Yeah.
Right.
And so they, I just read something recently that they think there's less here now than they thought, but it's still, the poor counties like Columbiana and Jefferson, you know, the Appalachian areas, it would still have a tremendous impact. I mean, you'd have the drillers coming in and needing housing and needing food and needing support services. And a lot of these businesses, hopefully, then could sustain themselves after the drilling leaves.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're missing. And that's, to me, that's when you're in elected office, especially on a short term, you look at issues in a microcosm. Rather than looking at, in the case of oil and gas, we should be looking at that as a 50-year endeavor and making decisions today based on what's in our best interest as a state over that long period of time. But getting reelected disincentivizes you to do that.
Right, especially when you're talking about how long we've been down as a state, and how much things it's hard it's been for us to recover with the national things that they've, you know, put upon us.
Exactly, especially in our part of the state. I mean, Ohio overall, since Governor Kasich has taken office, has
improved
tremendously in the national rankings.
Mm-hmm.
And the three C's, of course, which get the most attention, Columbus, Cincinnati, and Cleveland, have started to rebound nicely, and up in the Toledo area. So the state has, I think we were in the almost 50. I think we were 48 economically in the rankings when I took office, and I think we're in the 20s now.
Yes, that is absolutely so. I had seen Toledo a few times, and they were looking like we were. Mm-hmm. I saw more huge, newer restaurants closed in that area. And a lot of businesses, you know, were just empty buildings with for lease signs on them. New modern things, you know, you're up there saying, how the heck did this happen here? Because, you know, you thought they had so much, especially being right there on I-75,
right?
You know, with Detroit traffic pouring through there, et cetera, et cetera. But they were on their last leg almost.
Well, I think they got hurt. The one racetrack that got moved.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how severely that impacted the overall economy there, but I know they had to get
some of the blowback from Detroit with because they're very close. Their economies have to be dependent on each other.
Yeah, 60 miles from Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I used to live in Michigan. And
that little boat thing that goes around. There's a lake up there, Jeff.
You're talking about that Lake Michigan thing?
Craig, what do you, how much traction or lack of traction does the do the anti-fracking folks have down in Columbus? I mean, we've got a couple of these guys up here that are just,
yeah.
Who are these people other than Senator Hagan? But that's
you're giving him the office.
Yeah, he's back in the state rep.
Representative Hagan.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't see that
he
many
wants
people.
To run for Senate, but people need to know where he stands on the fracking stuff.
Well, he's against it.
Yeah.
One of the few that I saw that was against it. I think most representatives and senators saw the overall benefit to the state.
Yeah.
And are supportive of it, done in a proper way. I mean, you get into some of the issues like the in Columbiana County, we have Beaver Creek State Park.
Yeah.
Which is a
beautiful,
yeah. park, and that is one of the national scenic park, if I
yeah.
recall. So there was a lot of concern about in the populace in Columbiana County about, you know, is that going to be damaged in any way? So those issues, and it won't. I mean, the way they're approaching it, or it shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the governor's trying to be, and the administration is trying to be sensitive to that. I mean, if you think about it, they live here too. So why would they want to damage the state? And the governor has, I think, bigger political aspirations.
Mm-hmm. Do you think?
So, I think.
Uh-oh. Rumor has it.
So a lot of it's just common sense. Well, we talked about common sense a little bit ago.
There we go.
I mean, sometimes the populace gets concerned about issues, and it's understandable until you get answers. But common sense would give you a pretty good indication, I think, of what would make sense to a politician because of their interest typically in getting reelected.
What do you think about Mr. Hagan's proposal with marijuana?
The medical marijuana?
Yeah. He would want more. I don't know, but I suspect, you know, more than medical marijuana. I need some medical something right now.
Well, yeah, I'm ready to, you know, to make it to the nearest bar almost. Because you keep mentioning this.
Do you got any medical Jack Daniels here?
Well, the Columbiana papers don't tend to say a whole lot about Mahoning County.
Yeah.
I mean, in 8 pages, you can't. You can't say very much.
But yeah, watch our television. I don't know. We're learning something here.
I tend to watch Fox News because I think they tend to be more unbiased.
Absolutely. It's a good station. And I'll be right back.
I agree. Sometimes I lose my temper on some of the other stations.
Oh, my God.
But I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
Yeah, he's an interesting.
I don't know that it would ever get out of committee.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the issue that a lot of people, I think, don't understand is the whole process down there. A lot of issues that might be proposed for a law, never get to the floor. I mean, they might, some of them don't even get to the committee process.
Right, right.
The Speaker of the House has total control over what legislation gets heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found that fascinating. In that you could have a really good issue, and you've got a politic within your own caucus, on controversial bills in order to get them even heard at caucus, and then hopefully on the floor.
Sure.
What do you think about? Talk a little bit about what was going on in Columbus with the governor and the legislature relating to the Medicaid issues
surrounding
the health care.
Right. Before we get into that one, because that's going to be a long one, we're going to give him some time because we're going to pay some bills here in about 30 seconds. And that's going to be interesting because the health care is affecting everyone's life. And I see these lies they keep putting on the Internet or Facebook or health care is found to be costing less than it than previously thought. Liars! Excuse me. But anyway,
real opinion on that?
Yeah. Just tell me how I really feel, right?
Put that medical Jack Daniels away, Joe.
Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back after these messages.
I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News. The operators of the Old Avalon Golf Course are suing the city of Warren, which owns the course. The plaintiffs are claiming breach of contract. Old Avalon Golf LLC says it invested more than $750,000 in improvements for which the city has not reimbursed it. The city is countersuing, claiming that the course operators owe it $320,000 in back lease payments. Some city officials want to sell the course. A rally was held last night at the New Bethel Baptist Church in Youngstown with the goal of bringing an end to gun violence. Organizers called it the Love and Protect Our Children Rally. And the Ohio House has voted to shield proceeds of Jobs Ohio's $1.5 billion liquor deal from public audit. Republicans say the move clarifies the legislature's intent for the private job creation entity formed by Governor John Kasich. You're up to date. I'm Mark LaVoy, WSOM News.
The Valley's Medical Guide is now available at a Walgreens near you in Mahoning, Trumbull, Mercer, Lawrence, and Columbiana counties. This medical guide is packed with useful health tips and a local physician's listing. Enter to win a $500 American Express card. Pick up your free copy at a local participating Walgreens pharmacy. Stop by a Walgreens near you in Mahoning, Trumbull, Lawrence, Mercer, and Columbiana counties. Plus, a chance to win a $500 American Express card. Now at Walgreens, accepting most Express Scripts plans.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
At the Law Office of J.M. Shade, we focus on estate planning for the elderly and people with special needs. We'll help you find a way to pay for long-term health care, write your will, and set up a trust to avoid probate. Estate planning is essential for everyone. Don't delay and leave your family to deal with the stress after you're gone. Show them you care. Call us today, 866-606-6187. That's 866-606-6187. 6187, jmselderlaw.com. Estate planning made simple.
This is an important announcement for anyone with a student loan who is having trouble making their monthly payments. Pay attention. There is a special toll-free hotline that has been set up especially for you. Grab a pen and take down this number or put it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-293-4131. That's 1-800-293-4131. When you call the National Student Loan Relief Hotline, you will get free information. Free information to help you relieve the overwhelming financial burden of an ongoing, endless student loan. If you are behind, late on payments, or even in default on your student loan, National Student Loan Relief can help you. You can cut your payments in half right away. National Student Loan Relief will also stop the harassing phone calls, wage garnishments, and even remove tax liens. But you have to call 1-800-293-4131. National Student Loan Relief has helped thousands of people just like you fix their student loan problem. Call 1-800-293-4131 for free information today. That's 1-800-293-4131.
Avoid the rush and listen to us.
Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community. Get talking to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Your favorite station really helps you out. Thanks to iHeartRadio, you can take your favorite station in your mobile device. Download the free iHeartRadio app at iHeartRadio.com.
Can true love fail? Then I would miss the childhood wish, and haven't I sung to you of the knight in armor bright, faithful and true to you?
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends. It's 46 minutes after the hour of 12, and I want to thank Jeff and Mark for holding down the fort. Thank you, Craig, for letting me be a little late. I've been out trying to change the world. You know, I got a bad problem. I got some friends, and my friends get me involved in other friendly stuff. And then you go help your friends out if you're going to be a friend. And then you have to have your other friends help out the other friends so that you can go and try to change the world for the community at large.
Well, more people should be doing that. That's the only way we're going to, I think, get back to the values that we, I think, used to embrace more than we do today, and hopefully be more concerned about each other. I think we've fallen into these little pockets of, how would I say it? I guess interest. And if somebody doesn't seem to share your interest, then the heck with them.
Did you say values?
I did say values.
What, you can't say values. Everybody makes. Haven't you?
What
haven't
are
you,
they?
It's 2013. Haven't you heard? Hey, guys, I want you to call in, and if you have any comments, you want to join in the conversation, please do so. The number is 347-945-5229. When you say values, in 2013,
mm-hmm.
values
and
are...
Tracy?
Yes, I?
And when you say care, my idea
care what?
Of caring for someone is totally different, because when I care for someone, they tell me that I'm being mean, hateful, and nasty.
But I thought whom you care about, you chastise, you give critical criticism to, and you try to make people get on a path called straight, or you know, white is white and blue is blue and red is red, and primary colors are primary colors and they don't change. I don't understand when you say values, because in 2013 you just make them up as you go along. What are you talking about? American Spirit Initiative?
Well, that's part of it. I mean, if you go back to the American spirit and the values that our country was founded with, the founding fathers, I mean, those, to me, are still important and critical, and that's what we should be aspire to. I mean, relativism.
Everything's based on reality, your own personal reality, and so you make up your navigation based upon your reality. Yes.
Well, my reality.
I know Mark agrees with me.
Some people do, but I hope your reality includes a worldview.
Yeah, I was just thinking a little bit about someone when we were talking earlier today about. Hopefully, with all the stuff that's going on right now, Americans will start to ask the question, why is this happening? Why are things going the way they're going? And maybe the return to values will start to happen. It's not going to come from the top down. It's got to come from the people.
Right.
How does that happen when people don't even understand how the process truly works? Because, I mean, you are a former state rep.
Right.
In Columbiana County. And people called you about potholes. People called you about the sky is falling. But very, very few people really called you and really knew the process of how to get things done in the job in which you sit.
Correct.
Because we have taken the education of the process away from people, so people have no idea.
Well, we even tried to take it out of the schools. We passed the bill in the last legislature to make sure that the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and what else am I missing? That key documents are taught in schools. They were actually, in some cases, were going to be removed from the school, the curriculum in the schools. So
why would you remove that from the? Why would you do that?
Well, if
who in the world
if somebody wants
to do that?
If somebody wanted to change the perception of how we got where we were, and that, which then might dictate to some degree where we want to go, I mean, that you would get rid of your foundation, change the foundation
fundamentally change America. That's the only reason why you would not want to keep the Bill of Rights, Constitutions, or any of the Federalist Papers, or any of the founding documents in being taught to as a basic education.
But even in
the
basic education of it, when I look at this, I see a lot of people. And, I love to watch this. Is it Jay Leno that goes on the street? Or
yeah.
Which one goes on the street?
Also, Waters.
Jesse Waters from Fox.
Yeah. They go on the street and they ask people simple questions like, who's the vice president?
Isn't that embarrassing?
That goes to one of the things that I've talked with folks about stuff. They say, how do we change it? You know where you change it? The change comes number one. We got to get control of what our schools teach.
Right.
And it's off the charts. Now, I'm a child of the 60s, and all my left-wing 60, hippy-dippy, free sex, free drugs type that I went to school with, they're the ones that moved into education, and they go all the way up to graduate schools. We're talking today about a time when Columbia University in New York was a conservative university.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Look at it now, 40, 50 years later, and that's all these people who are my age that have gone through and permeated these schools. If you're going to go after elections, go after school board elections. And then when you have state universities, monitor who you appoint to the Board of Trustees and tell them to get involved with this academic freedom bunch of crap, and that's what it is. Academic freedom for what? We pay you to teach.
I thought education was reading, writing, and arithmetic, not the...
No, it's not that anymore, Trey.
I mean, I need to know how to read.
Uh-huh.
I learned a critical... And reading brings comprehension.
Uh-huh.
And I heard a woman say that, reading is not knowing how to read the words on the page, but reading between the words and between the lines on the page that you read.
Mm-hmm.
And asking questions about them so that you get knowledge. Critical thinking. So why did the forefathers write what they wrote in the way that it's been written? That's the question.
And rhetoric. I mean, to be able to express your views and understand, have a dialogue that is meaningful and substantive, so you can talk about those issues and get down to the roots of them and hopefully impart more knowledge. I mean, get people to start thinking and questioning. I mean, we have a bunch of lemmings anymore, I think, in the country.
Let me tell you something in my experience just the other day. One of our callers, Mark, made a statement on Facebook saying he wonders what the red states are teaching about, about what happened in, over in Iraq. And, he went on to say, and then all these people were saying how, they're not going to teach it right, this, that, and other. And I said, the teaching in America is done by liberals. I said, they control the NEA. They control D.C. They control our state boards of education primarily. And I said, they're the ones that are going to dictate what's being taught and not. And they just went all off this gamut. This is the thing. We are so polarized as a nation. It's going to take the people that will come together to come together and either start their own school system or take over their local school systems so that the curriculum is proper. Education should not be from D.C. education should be local level,
right,
because only the people on the local level control the kids that go to those schools.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it.
And the same goes, you know, and up at the university level, you know, you look at all the appointments that the governor makes relating to various offices, and I think probably one of the most important ones that they make now are appointments to the boards of trustees of the university.
Mm-hmm.
These folks can get a hold of basically going off the reservation, teaching liberalism under the guise of academic freedom. There is no academic freedom. There is no balance in our universities, none. And there is not an unreasonable request that if a professor is granted tenure or hired and is denied because he is a Republican or a conservative, whoever does the denying ought to get fired. And that's the end of it.
Well, Grove City. I was just over at Grove City last week. I mean, they take no federal funds.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
And their teachers aren't tenured. I mean, they have total freedom in what they teach, how they teach it.
Sure.
And they're one of the highest ranked schools in the country.
Yeah.
And
isn't it a wonderful university?
Oh, it is. And it's just so open, and the kids are free. I mean, it felt totally different to me being on that campus than being on some of the other campuses.
You mentioned something, and I've got Representative Christina Rogner coming in, ready to come on with us at the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized you said the kids were free. Do we really understand what freedom is? When you have freedom of education, freedom of thought, and not a controlled thought by someone else that you think you're thinking on your own and you're not?
That's a great question. I think the system is increasingly trying to dictate what freedom is and to
people think they're free. And the problem is they don't realize they're free, but they're being mobilized and they're being maneuvered and they're being marketed to and they're being navigated into ways that they have no idea that they're being navigated in based on lack of information and lack of education.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. I think that's why you're seeing such an uptick in the private schools. And homeschooling, I mean, statistically, all the numbers in all of those delivery systems are increasing because, at least in those cases, you have informed parents that realize that the public system is distorting, you know, what history, the value system again. I mean, distorting what people really should be understanding. I mean, we shouldn't be telling people what to think. We should be telling people how to think.
They are telling people what to think.
Right.
It's frightening.
We're not even telling people to think.
Well, you know, I go back. This is going to be 50 years to fix this. It won't be fixed in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You got to start back with the local school boards. Then you have to go to the type of teachers that are hired. You got to get up into the universities, the type of professors that are hired there. Take a look at what they're teaching in the liberal arts colleges or the journalism schools. Make sure that there's a balance there.
Mm-hmm.
Only then will it be fixed as they start to get out back into the primary schools, you know, back where we started at the beginning, to get people, to get the education system changed.
Well, if you get the government out of education,
yeah,
get it back to the local community,
amen,
then some of that can happen.
Not until you educate the local community to take responsibility for their own education. Because, see, self-reliance and self-responsibility, even though that they have the power, their lack of education and lack of information let them know the power that they have.
I agree, but I think in some cases there are people that have, you know, understand those issues and are frustrated with their inability to influence and impact. And if we can somehow give them channels that enable them to do that, and that's where I think we need to be focusing our time. And between the education and allowing them the ability then to react and respond and get out there. And I'm a child of the 60s, too. I mean, if we have to carry picket signs, or not picket signs, protest signs, but this time for conservative values.
Hey, I got to take a break. Hold on, Craig. When I come back, Representative Christina Rogner, I hope I'm pronouncing her last name. I got a feeling I'm crucifying it. The number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take my break real quick, and I'll be right back.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Not in the way people may have been expecting. It's just that the start button is now always there. So people now have the comfort and the familiarity of seeing that little flag logo in the lower left-hand corner like they always did.
The update's going to be a free download to Windows 8 users. The Commerce Department says the economy grew at a modest 2.4% annual rate from January through March. Now we asked Jim O'Sullivan, chief U.S. economist for High Frequency Economics, if government spending cuts due to the sequester, if that's impacting gross domestic product.
I think that's already been happening. I mean, government spending has been declining for the last several quarters, even before the sequester took effect on March 1. Government spending's been a drag on growth, and despite that, the economy has been growing.
And the Reverend Andrew Greeley has died. The outspoken Roman Catholic priest wrote more than 50 novels. This is ABC News.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah, you love coffee. Everybody does. But not everybody treats their coffee the way it deserves to be treated. I mean, some people pour themselves a hot, steamy cup and then put just anything in there. Skim milk? 1%? No. If you really love your coffee, you'd stir in rich, creamy coffee mate. Coffee's perfect mate, baby, is what it's been yearning for all morning long.
The joint supplements of today are sadly incomplete because they don't give you the joint relief you need. Until now. Introducing the complimentary two-week sample of Instaflex, our most powerful joint formula ever. It's the number one selling joint supplement at GNC. Claim your sample today. 1-800-451-6580. Great for your knees, hands, even your hips. Instaflex is available at GNC.
I don't know why.
You can only get your complimentary two-week sample by calling 1-800-451-6580. 1-800-451-6580.
America's farmers may get some access to the fastest-growing food market in the world, China.
Good.
ABC's Richard Davies explains why.
The proposed takeover of Smithfield Foods by China's largest meat processor would be the biggest Chinese takeover of an American company. Smithfield is the largest U.S. pork producer. If approved by federal regulators, Shuangwei International Holdings would be expected to export much more Smithfield meat to feed China's rapidly growing market. That would create more American jobs. Annual exports of U.S. agricultural products to China have more than doubled since 2009. Richard Davies, ABC News.
Salem, Oregon, a guy shows up at the teacher standards office and said he wanted to blow up the sign outside because of a spelling error. Had a D missing from the word and. 50-year-old Leonard Verdick walked in with a pressure cooker with wires hanging out of it and told the receptionist he was spoiled because the instructions to make the bomb he downloaded off the internet also had misspellings. Turned out it wasn't a bomb. He was charged with disorderly conduct. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Oh, yeah, you love coffee. Everybody does. But not everybody treats their coffee the way it deserves to be treated. I mean, some people pour themselves a hot, steamy cup and then put just anything in
there. I'm going to be on the radio any minute.
Give milk? 1%? No. If you really love your coffee, you'd stir in rich, creamy coffee mate. Coffee's perfect mate, baby. Is what it's been yearning for all morning long.
Does your basement or crawl space have a damp, musty smell? Well, watch out. That's a sign of too much moisture and not enough ventilation. And that can mean increased mold growth and the buildup of harmful toxins and gases. Don't bother with a dehumidifier. It just circulates the same unhealthy air.
That's cool.
Get the Wave Ventilation Unit. It will transform your home into a drier, healthier environment. Satisfaction guaranteed. Call 1-888-964-WAVE. That's 1-888-964-WAVE.
Mom, I had the best dream.
Well, good morning to you, too.
Okay, so I was a knight. I had a sword, and our house was a castle. There was this angry dragon. It was kind of scary.
Oh, yeah?
But I protected the castle.
Oh, that's my brave little man. I'm glad our castle is safe.
Your home is your castle, and sometimes you need help defending it. The National Association of Realtors supports maintaining homeowner tax incentives because they make home ownership more affordable for more families. Learn more at houselogic.com.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized. And promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com.
I wish I could, but I got to the radio.
That's fitfamily1.com.
Introducing a new, faster way for your business
to
communicate. AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk. Get your business started with a free Samsung Rugby 3 at att.com/enhancedptt3. A great new choice for business. You push to talk. AT&T pushed it further. AT&T, rethink possible.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios. Feel the power behind the available EcoBoost engine in the 2013 Ford Escape. Now you can lease a new fuel-efficient Escape for just $199 a month. Visit drive1ohio.com.
I need to control internet usage in my office.
Do you want to pay a fee for every user?
No.
Do you want to pay extra to protect remote users?
No.
How about a product that's difficult to install and use?
No.
Offshore or automated phone tree support okay?
No.
Then yes, we can help.
The Barracuda Web Filter. Content filtering, application control, and malware protection with no per-user fees. Available as a hardware appliance, virtual appliance, or as a cloud service. And live humans to answer your calls. Try Barracuda Web Filter free. Go to barracuda.com/yes.
Avoid the rush and listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community. Get talking to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back. And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I accidentally hit the wrong key and took my bumper music out of the way completely. I have Representative Christina Rodner. Representative Chris, tell me if I'm pronouncing your last name.
Christina Rodner.
Rogner, I'm almost there.
Rogner.
Very good. Rogner. And she is from the Summit County District. And I have Craig Newbold, who is a former state rep from Columbiana County. Mark Mangie is here, and it's a Thursday. And Jeff came and sat in and pitched his for me since I was running late today. So I want to thank everybody for doing that.
Nobody.
Well, wonderful. Nice to be talking with all of you. And I remember serving with Craig down in Columbus.
Hi, yes. Christina.
Good to hear your voice again, Craig.
Same here.
I am so happy to have her on with me. And I want you to introduce yourself a little bit. Tell my audience a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and what is your passion for being a state rep as a representative from Summit County, yet representing the state of Ohio in the legislative body of our great state.
Oh, thank you, Tracy. So my name is Christina Rogner, and I currently represent the 37th House District, which is the northeastern portion of Summit County. I really enjoy serving down in Columbus because it's very interesting topics. You feel like you can make a difference, and just being able to interact with all sorts of people, you know, whether it's students in school to, you know, people that have particular interests or concerns at state government. So there's never a dull moment, which I'm sure Representative Newbold has shared with you.
What is the hot topic right now down in Columbus?
Oh, there's always more than one, Tracy. But right now, of course, the budget is front and center. That's that always is, you know, every 2 years at this time of year. You know, and of course, in there we were talking about should we expand Medicaid or not. There were questions about taxes. Should the sales tax be expanded to include services? I mean, those were some hot topics. And I have also recently introduced a bill, which is a right-to-work bill, which, of course, is also a hot topic.
Well, let's start with yours, and then we'll come back down to the budget.
Okay.
Why would you introduce a right-to-work bill? What is in that bill? And, you know, we went through, you know, issue two,
mm-hmm.
which was Senate Bill 5.
Right.
Tell me, what is so important about right-to-work that you would actually sponsor legislation for that?
Oh, absolutely. So, first of all, let me just share with your listeners what right-to-work is, in case there are some that are saying, what is that? There are some states where if you, as a condition of employment, if there is a union at that employer, as a condition of employment, you have to basically join the union and pay the dues. So, but there are now 24 states which say, no, you know what, we believe in freedom, we embrace freedom, and we don't think that that should be the case. So 24 states have passed right-to-work laws. And most recently, in fact, Indiana and Michigan. So,
okay.
You know, so I've introduced House Bill 151, and Ron Magg has introduced House Bill 152, which would, if adopted, would make Ohio the 25th right-to-work state in this nation. Now, why is that important to do? Because if you look at all of the data, it just beyond the issue of individual freedom and liberty, which in and of itself to me is enough to do it. The economic data is compelling that the states that embrace right to work are far outpacing their non-right to work counterpart states. Why is that? Well, if you are a CEO of a company and you're deciding where you're going to put your next plant, your next manufacturing facility, and you're looking at different states and different locations, and you consider everything. You consider tax, climate. You'll consider regulatory environment. What is the general environment for your business? Where is your business going to be most successful? And if all else is equal, and you've got one state that's right to work and one state that's not, the CEOs are starting to – they're placing their businesses in the right-to-work states because, you know, it's basically – they see it's more competitive. And, in fact, interestingly enough, Tracy, if you look at the latest Chief Executive magazine, it just came out the May and June edition, so the very current edition. The title of it is Best and Worst States. And in there – they surveyed like 750 CEOs from across the nation and said, you know, let's grade these all 50 states and rank order them. And Ohio moved up. We did well in terms of improvement. We went from like 35th to 22nd. And so we were the biggest mover, which was great. We have done many wonderful things in Ohio in the last two, three years for that improvement. However, we're still middle of the pack. But if you look at the top 10 states. In fact, look at the top 12. Every one of them is a right-to-work state. It's statistically significant.
But now people say that if you're a right-to-work, that the employers will abuse and they treat the employees and, you know, we're all about big business and we're not about the everyday worker. And right-to-work is going to kill the middle-class rights for what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case because, you know, the right-to-work states are the states that are growing in population. So if truly the conditions were poor down there, you would see people leaving the states, right? They wouldn't want to stay there. But quite the opposite is happening. People are moving to right-to-work states. And you can even see that in representation, for example, in Congress, right? So every 10 years they do a census, and based on that census, you determine how many representatives you get in Congress. Well, Ohio, of course, we lost two in the last census because our population is declining relative to the other states, which are growing, those being the right-to-work states. So right South Carolina, the states are picking up reps, and we're losing them.
South Carolina, you're on the phone. Go ahead. I hear you had a comment or a question.
I live in South Carolina, which is a right-to-work state, and the notion that that employers they're going to take extreme advantage of individuals is outrageous. I mean, even though, you know, you can be fired with or without cause, with or without reason, at any point during your employment, there is a process that you can use to appeal it. And that's you go through the labor relations board and plead your case and see if you were, you know, terminated, you know, correctly. But yes, we have the district that I live in now is a district that was created, the 7th District of South Carolina, which was created because of the census change. Our congressman here is Tom Rice, and there are people moving into South Carolina, businesses is moving into South Carolina, if Ohio doesn't want to change, that's fine. We'll take all that, you know, that you all don't want.
No, we want to change.
We're changing. Mark, you had a comment or a question?
Now, Christina, who, excuse me, who are the right-to-work states around Ohio right now?
Well, most recently, and these are, we're in what's traditionally the heavily unionized Rust Belt area, the Midwest, right? But most recently, Indiana went right to work like a couple years ago, a year or two ago, and Michigan just last December.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, how did they pull that off in Michigan?
They didn't realize. They didn't read the ballot.
I need to figure that one out because we got to do what they did.
Christina, seriously, what happened was that they had this motivation for getting people out to vote, so they mobilized the people, and they only mobilized them for the issues that were important, which was the, you know, presidential ticket. And they forgot about the rest of the ballot. And they let people go out to vote, uneducated, as you and I were talking about earlier, uneducated about the rest of the ballot, and people just voted. And I don't think, even in the city of Detroit, and though the governor, he was allowed to maneuver some things and to make some things happen, which would be better for Michigan, it really caught them by surprise.
I thought Michigan passed it, though, in sort of in their lame duck session, and I thought they had attached to some appropriation to it so it wasn't subject to a referendum, but I'm not
it. But they had passed a law going along with it that they couldn't override it.
Right.
Was that one of those things you had to read the bill to find out what was in it?
Pretty much. You had to read it, and if you didn't read it, you didn't know what was in it, and they just did it. That's what happened.
Oh, no. I think they had their share of protests up there as well.
Yeah, but not like we did here.
All right. Hey, speaking of which, you mentioned, Tracy, Senate Bill 5, and I'd like to go back to that for a minute if I could.
Sure.
Because a lot of the naysayers will point to that. The only similarity that I see between the two is that they do both deal with unions. But that's where the similarities end, and then the differences begin in earnest. And for example, Senate Bill 5 was all about placing restrictions on collective bargaining, such as you have to pay 15% of your medical benefits, you can't have pension pickup, you can't strike, and so forth. So the restrictions. Right to work is lifting restrictions. It's all about giving the worker freedom to choose for themselves if a union's right for them or not. Senate Bill 5 was full of lots of many different issues, and it was 400 pages long. I mean, it was a big bill. Right to Work, my bill, 151, is like 5.5 pages. It's very simple. It's just one issue. It's freedom for the worker. Very easy to understand. Senate Bill 5 went down at the polls. I think it was defeated by 62%. Right to Work, in poll after poll, is showing very strong in Ohio. In fact, the Columbus Dispatch just did a poll. The most recent one I've seen is the March 31st of 2013, which is just, you know, a month or two ago. And that was showing 65% of Ohioans surveyed support amending the Constitution to have right to work. So I find it interesting when people will point to Senate Bill 5 because really the two couldn't be more different.
I agree with you, Christina, but the one thing that I think if they had tried this first, I believe they would have a much easier go at it than when they tried the Senate Bill 5 that included police and firemen. That was
right.
That was where that was what their the nail in their coffin was. If they had left those police and firemen alone, that bill would have passed here in Ohio.
Hindsight is 20/20.
Oh no, yeah, but if they had listened to some people, we were screaming.
Oh.
When I first heard the bill, I said that this is it.
Yeah.
Get the police and fire out of that bill, and it'll pass.
Okay. Yeah, well, you were right. Any any suggestions then on this right to work bill?
What are your suggestions on the right to work?
Well, in the right to work bill, you just have to properly package it like you're doing, but tell them we're not trying to bust a union or this, that, another. All jobs are not created equal, and so therefore all companies aren't equal, and you can't require a company to have necessarily have to have a union just because. It's killing jobs of companies that can't, you know, they can't tolerate a union. You're not going to get lower wages because of, you're going to get some wages that don't exist now. And that's the focus that has to be shown.
Right. That's right.
And that's a focus that has to be somehow put into the, you know, the slogans and in the literature, et cetera, et cetera. And then make sure that you use every, ethnic group as you know, as well as majority group on your literature, because they're not the governor has a Ohio thing out and has all no ethnic people on that literature that they have about Ohio. It
really?
Doesn't make sense.
Oh,
that's
no good.
No, it's not any good. But the thing is,
yeah.
is the image is. Well, he wants is a lily white society, and that's not true.
No. Right to work is good for everyone. I mean, right to work is good for every race, creed, color, you name it. You know, freedom is for all.
We actually agree with you on this.
Absolutely.
But we need to be able to conversate and get in front of the ball and educate. Again, it's all about he who gets out and educates first is where you'll go back to your reference point. People need to know that right to work will benefit not only you, but the people around you, your community at large, as well as the state. And they need to know what that means. Because right now, the unions of yesterday are not the unions of 2013.
That's true.
And I don't think people realize that unions are now big business.
Mm-hmm.
And so they hate the corporation, but they love the union, but they don't understand that the union is a bigger corporation than the corporation that they hate.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I don't know what the figures are in Ohio. I think nationwide, I think it's about 11 or 12% of the workforce is unionized, and of that, about 6% is public employees unions. So you only have 5 to 6% of private business being unionized, which is like nothing. It's minuscule.
Yeah.
The right to work bill I've heard bandied about either going on the ballot as a ballot issue or what you're saying, Christina, that you're going to try to do this through the legislature instead of doing it on the ballot.
Actually, interesting. I'm glad you asked that question because we're doing it both ways. Let me explain. We've proposed two bills which would change it in statute, so that would be law. That's also 151 for the private sector, 152 for the public sector. So that's the statute for the law. We've also introduced House Resolution 5, which would, if we could get enough votes in the General Assembly, would put that on the ballot and let the voters decide. So, and the reason we did it that way is to give ultimate flexibility to whichever way the General Assembly might have an appetite to go. And I'm fine either route. As long as we get there, because I don't want South Carolina to keep taking our jobs.
Well, I agree with you. I think in putting this in terms of as Republican to Republican. Don't you think on the ballot it would be an absolute repeat of what happened with SB 5?
No, I don't. I really don't, and for the reasons I mentioned before. Because Senate Bill 5 was about restrictions. Right to work is about freedom. Senate Bill 5 was 400 pages. That's a lot to read, and most people, if you don't have the time to read it and understand it, you're going to be afraid of it and vote it down. Right to work is a 5-page bill. It's very simple, and it's quite easy to read and understand. And finally, if you look at the polls, I mean, poll after poll is showing that right to work polls very favorably in Ohio. And it's not just like 51%. We're talking, I've seen polls up to 71%. And again, the Columbus Dispatch was just at 65%. So for those, I mean, three examples of why I believe Senate Bill 5 and right to work should not be compared.
I agree with everything you said, but here comes the big but.
Okay, bring it on.
If you're making the assumption that the voters are going to be able to distinguish between the truth and reading the bill and understanding what it says, or believe the propaganda that's going to come down with the unions and advertising, which is going to have no relation at all to what's in the bill, we didn't do a very good job as Republicans defending SB 5. I can't,
yeah.
You know, unless you can tell me that it's that we're going to do a better job with this.
They're going to call me to help them with their marketing campaign across the state, I hope. I do. I hope they help me. Let me help you with this.
Thank you.
When are we looking at seeing this going to the ballot and or to a vote anywhere? Where is this along the way? Because I've been hearing rumors, and I might as well ask you out loud, and you can tell me, Tracy, go away. But I was hearing rumors of this upcoming next year, next November.
To be on the ballot? Oh,
to be on the ballot.
See, there is a grassroots organization that's circulating a petition for signatures, and so I mean it could, and I have absolutely no control over that. I mean, so that could happen any time, and it could be as soon as next year. I just don't know. The bill, if we pass the two bills I spoke of, my guess is there would be a referendum on those, and then they would go to the ballot if we did it that way. And that's, I think they have 90 days to collect the signatures, and then it would be on the following election. So that would be that scenario. And then the final scenario is if we pass Joint Resolution 5, I think we have in there for the election in 2013. However, that can be amended in committee, and they could change it to whatever election they so choose. I don't know. I have seen the headlines that the Senate president is not interested in, you know, passing this at this time. So that's sort of, I don't know any more than that in terms of timing.
I can say this. I agree with him for one thing. You don't want anything clouding up that midterm election with the disasters of health care and all of those things that are going to be looming. If they drop this right after that election, that would be the thing to do, because even though they'll be organized, they're not going to have any money left because they're going to spend every dime they have on the midterm election.
They're going to have to.
Yeah. I think you might be right. And passing this in lame duck is fine with me as long as we get it done, because at the end of the day, I believe it's the right thing for Ohio.
And,
state after state are going that way, and even our neighbors, Indiana and Michigan. So we should at least be engaging in the discussion.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229 if you want to call in and join in the conversation. Craig, you got any comment on this before I go to my break?
Oh, I just totally agree. I mean, Ohio's at a competitive disadvantage by not having right to work. So this is just what we talked about, common sense before.
Absolutely.
And if the electorate understands the issue, then I think it should be a pretty easy vote, but that goes back to education.
Yeah.
And making sure they understand what they're voting on and that this is really going to help them and it's going to help their family, their friends. That was one of the things I think that hurt us on issue SB 5 was a lot of people believed in what we were trying to do, but...
No. Let me tell you what hurt us. I don't know what in the world why we allow dumb stuff. I called the chairman of the Republican Party here in Mahoning County and said, when did nurses get on inside of public employees? Am I losing something here? Because they tell me that the nurses won't come see about me if this passes. And I don't know what state – I didn't know St. E.'s and Northside Hospital had state nurses?
Well, I think there was more than one issue. I think we pushed it too fast.
Well, the problem was it was a disaster. I take that back. I've seen two elections that I think were disasters. SB 5 was one of them, and it had nothing to do with the meat of the matter. It had to do with how we don't know how to put issues through.
Right.
We had to learn how to do it.
And we let the other side lie about what they were purporting. And the thing is that's where we always lose on the right. We lose because we lose the ability to call terms as they're supposed to be. We always allow the left to divine terms. And mm-hmm. if we don't stop that and push up against it, we have every ability to do it without spending all of the money that they do to put the lie out.
I think Right to Work will pass. I think it will win because it's a message of freedom that's going to resonate with the voters. It's a simple, straightforward issue. Should you have to join an organization and pay dues to that organization in order to work? Should you have to join the Rotary Club or Kiwanis Club or some other organization before you can work at the radio station? No. I mean, this is not America. And I think people get that.
As long as we explain that, because someone is going to come up with a lie and say right to work means...
I can fire you at will.
Let me take my break. I'll be right back. I'm talking with Christina Rogner from the 37th District in the State House. Mark Manji's in studio. Craig Newbold's in studio. Jeff's in studio. I'm in studio. And South Carolina's on the phone. If you want to join us, you can. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized.
Hi, babies.
At FitFamily1.com. That's FitFamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at AIWHealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795.
That's 330-758-5795.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. The operators of the Old Avalon Golf Course are suing the city of Warren, which owns the course. The plaintiffs are claiming breach of contract. Old Avalon Golf LLC says it invested more than $750,000 in improvements for which the city has not reimbursed it. The city is countersuing, claiming that the course operators owe it $320,000 in back lease payments. Some city officials want to sell the course. A rally was held last night at the New Bethel Baptist Church in Youngstown with the goal of bringing an end to gun violence. Organizers called it the Love and Protect Our Children Rally. And the Ohio House has voted to shield proceeds of Jobs Ohio's $1.5 billion liquor deal from public audit. Republicans say the move clarifies the legislature's intent for the private job creation entity formed by Governor John Kasich. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
The Valley's Medical Guide is now available at a Walgreens near you in Mahoning, Trumbull, Mercer, Lawrence, and Columbiana counties. This medical guide is packed with useful health tips and a local physician's listing. Enter to win a $500 American Express card. Pick up your free copy at a local participating Walgreens pharmacy. Stop by a Walgreens near you in Mahoning, Trumbull, Lawrence, Mercer, and Columbiana counties. Plus, a chance to win a $500 American Express card. Now at Walgreens, accepting most Express Scripts plans.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassTech.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I have a great group of people with me here today, and I'm glad to have them here. We're talking about state politics and primarily Ohio state politics, but politics are all local, whether you like it or not.
Absolutely.
And you have to know how independent states work in one complete body. So you got to break them out and then put them back together again and see how they relate one to another. In studio with me, I have Mark Manji, Craig Newell, Jeff Green, and I. And on the phones is South Carolina. And I've got a special guest on the phone with me. Her name is Representative Christina Rogner. And she is from the 37th District of the Ohio State House. And she's my guest today, and I want to thank her for taking time out of her busy schedule to come and hang out with me. She covers the northeastern area of Summit County. And it's really funny how you meet people. I met her through her dad.
That's
and
right.
It was really, I'm going, and I'm helping him pull up another interview that she had done in another station somewhere, so he could listen to it up here, up in Northeast Ohio, up in Mahoning County. And he was like, "This is my daughter," and he is such a proud dad, and I can see why.
No.
I have to put him on the spot.
Oh, he's great. I love my dad.
Oh, I love your dad, too.
You know, he got me into politics, too. I have to give him a little blame, though. He was on Hudson City Council at one point, and for 2 years, whenever there was a 6-to-1 vote, I knew that one was always my dad because it usually had something to do with spending money, and he is a fiscal tightwad, and in a good way. And I always, I'm like, man, 6-1, I feel so bad. Maybe I could join them. And it looks like a lot of fun. So I put my name in the hat and ran for election, and I was elected as well. And he became president of city council, and the rest is history. But we had a lot of fun doing that together.
Well, I did the same thing. A lot of people fall into politics. You see something you don't like, and you go out to try to change it.
Right.
And then you fall into this arena. But you have to be very, very level-headed as you fall into it so that you can continue to keep the best interest of the people that put you there, that you represent,
that's right,
at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on either side of the aisle. And if you can't stop and say, you know what, I love you guys, this is not right, or I don't understand it, and I won't vote for it until I understand it, that brings me to my next topic. Good segue, Jeff. Isn't that good?
Very good.
I've got to go to the budget.
You've been practicing well.
Yes, I have. I've got to go to the budget. The budget is in the state of Ohio, and a lot of people are upset or running and trying to figure out about the expansion of Medicaid and, you know, what was in it and why you guys pulled it out of it and why won't you do this and where is this going. And someone asked me on yesterday, he said, if we're all Republicans, why are Republicans fighting against the governor? And I said, they're not fighting against the governor. They're doing their job. There was something about the governor's budget that they didn't understand, they didn't like, or they wanted to take a better look at it. And until he can explain it, it didn't need to go in until they have clarity. And so it's not for me to rubber stamp it. It's for me to ask questions even and disagree in the same family or even in the same venue. So, Christine, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Certainly. I mean, so certainly the issue
about
of
the budget,
Medicaid
the budget, the Medicaid expansion, the tax issues part of the budget, all these things that were pulled out and said, no, we're not going to do this in there. We'll handle these things over here, and we got along with the turnpike, but we're not going to go with this one right here.
Actually, with the turnpike, I voted against the turnpike. Let me just quickly hit that one. So let me talk about the turnpike, and then we'll go right back to Medicaid. So the turnpike was a proposal that, again, it came from the governor's office, and the idea was let's borrow money against these future tolls, so tolls that we expect to be collecting in the future. We'll get the money now from the bond market so we can spend it now. Well, and I voted against that for a couple of reasons. One, that turnpike was originally, once it was paid off, was supposed to be free of charge. That was the deal way back when, before I was even born. And if we keep bonding against it, you know, increasing the debt, we're never going to be able to fulfill that promise. Number one. Number two, I'm just generally a debt-averse person. You know, I am not in favor of borrowing from future generations or future toll payers, as this may be the case. My kids, your kids, your grandkids paying future tolls will have to pay then for what we're going to be spending today. And that just, as a conservative, just rubs me the wrong way. And so that's why I voted no on the turnpike one. And I think I was only one of a handful of Republicans that went the other way on that. But like you said, Tracy, I mean, we're there to study the issues and apply what we believe our conservative principles are to all these issues and then make the best decisions that we can. So that was a turnpike. Now, Medicaid, sort of the same philosophy applies there for me. You know, again, you know, the governor's office did propose that we expand Medicaid. That is part of the Obamacare plan, right? I mean, that part of Obamacare is we'll get insurance to everyone. But now, how are we going to do this? We're going to take federal dollars, which, oh, by the way, the federal government doesn't have, so they have to either borrow it, you know, or print it. Either way, again, we're borrowing from future generations to pay for something today. So, that's one reason I'm not a fan of it. Number two, we're increasing entitlements, increasing dependence on government. I firmly believe that we should take care of our neighbors, those in need who cannot take care of themselves, but it's not the government's responsibility. I think that should be handled by churches, by communities, by family, by friends, where there's love, where there's accountability, not by a nameless, faceless government that's going to take money from somewhere, namely future generations at this point, because we're borrowing the money, and then just dole it out via Medicaid cards or food stamps to other people, there's no personal accountability there.
Now,
so,
see, I asked the question about it, and I called and said, hey, why are we doing this? And they said, because the expansion of Medicaid is going to go through whether you like it or not, and you can either control it statewide or you can allow the federal government to mandate it. And what you're going to want to do is to keep it close to the vest. And I tend to agree with that. Because whether we like it or not, the last thing I want is more federal intervention inside of my state house.
Yep.
We need,
no, I agree.
And so if we can actually expand, if we can create our own expansion plan.
But do we have
and
to?
Because if it doesn't overturn, it's going to cause, we're going to have to do it anyhow. Something's going to have to happen.
You're going to get federal override in a whole lot of areas when it comes to that, where the people have less of a voice about their care than they would if the state goes ahead and does something about it, since it's law anyway, and they haven't overturned
the law.
Oh, wait
a minute. No. The Supreme Court, it was originally law, right, in Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. But the Supreme Court said, no, states can decide. And so states do not have to expand Medicaid.
No, they don't. No, you know, we know it's a choice, but I'm saying if you don't choose to do it, what's going to happen to your people that are affected by this? And is it the best thing to do is to let it happen to them, or is it better to craft your own part that you have control over so that, boom, you do have control?
What's going to happen to them? What is going to happen to them, and what's different than
the federal government's not going to be able to pay for everybody, that's for sure.
Well, that's what they're proposing to do now, because the proposal for Medicaid expansion is the federal government's going to pay 100% of it for the first several years, and then it phases down to like 90%. So they're saying the federal government's going to pay all of it. But what you said is exactly right. I don't believe that's sustainable. It really isn't. I mean, that the amount this government is spending now, we just can't keep doing that. We can't, we're creating generation upon generation that's dependent
we're
on government.
Another
this isn't going to work. Yes,
well,
we are.
Christine, explain a little bit what the expansion of Medicaid would encompass. What does that do? What are they proposing? Are you talking about seniors? Are you talking about
No. Seniors are on
folks?
Seniors are Medicare.
Medicaid?
Right. So seniors are Medicare, and so Medicaid is for the poor and disabled. And currently, there are certain groups that are covered, such as children and adults with children. So basically, there's a segment of the population, for all intents and purposes, it's childless adults that are not currently covered under Medicaid. It's probably the easiest way to think about it. So there's that segment of the population doesn't currently qualify. So that mm-hmm. those are the folks that would be covered. Now, how many is that? That's a good question. I've seen lots of different numbers. I don't think anyone really knows how many would fall in that.
I've got to ask. Hold on, South Carolina, because I got to ask a dumb question first.
There are no dumb questions, Tracy.
Oh yeah, this is a dumb question because I got issues. I am a single female with no children. And they reward me if I go out and have a kid, but they penalize me if I try to do the right thing and guard myself from reproducing when I can't take care of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of
We need to work on some things so that I can start non-reproducing and get a little assistance so I can go make my own way and not have to go and have a baby so that I can live.
What is this all this about assistance, though? Why do people need?
Because wait a minute, hold on. I got to break this down. I go from working, and maybe I have parental help, and maybe I don't. But let's say that my parents were not the best parents in the world, so they can't help me, and they pretty much jacked up my credit by the time I turned 18. Anyhow, because it happens.
Okay.
And I go get a job, and I'm trying to work through college. And say I'm doing fairly well, but there is no way for me to get any type of leverage. You know, student loans only go so far, and minimum wage only pays so much. Yet,
right.
If I have a child, you got to understand, if I go have a baby,
yeah.
Now I have welfare, Medicare,
uh-huh.
I got Medicaid, whatever they call it, I got babysitting business. They go get me a car.
Direction car.
They get direction
Tracy,
car.
You are preaching to the choir.
Hold on. I get, you know, Section 8 household. I get aid to dependent children. And then as a matter of fact, I don't even have to pay as much in my taxes, and I can get a better tax return than everyone in this room. But all I got to do is go make a baby. My problem is with this. We always talk about this. But I need, if I don't have parental support, I need to be able to go, it's like with unemployment. If I'm making $40,000 a year and I go to unemployment that only pays $240 a week, that's a far cry. No one stops my creditors. No one stops my mortgage. No one holds anything. And if I go out and try to find a supplemental income to make my ends meet, my interest rate goes through the roof. You take money from me and I'm still screwed until I go make a baby. Hello?
So we're incentivizing the wrong things. Amen.
Right.
Absolutely.
But we're not saying anything about it on the other side. No, but everybody's afraid to say that word. We'll say that statement that you just said. We're incentivizing the wrong thing. We're incentivizing bad behavior. I say one child
and then we scratch our head.
Go ahead.
But then we scratch our head and say, why are folks having these children and remaining dependent on government? Because we're letting it happen. We're not only letting it happen, we're providing incentives for it.
But
so,
that's
not
incentive. I need incentive for me to go out and become a productive citizen and not an incentive for me to go out and have a baby that I can't take care of, be a baby mama, and let you take care of me, and then don't teach my child. My child goes in the system, and I am now dependent upon the child, and then I turn my child, instead of Medicare, I take him to Social Security. So now I don't even talk to him. I don't train him. I'm not prepared for him. Now he's got ADD, ADHD, and we continue to let this cycle continue.
That's right. Okay. Now, if government would do the right thing and just let the free markets work and just let hunger work and see, people would be incentivized if they worked hard, as long as they're able, if they work hard, they'll earn a good wage, they'll get the rewards, and if the government would let them keep it and not tax it so heavily, they would be incentivizing the right things.
But here's the thing. Wait a minute, Sal, real quick. And, Christina, I'll say this to you. That's where we blow the argument, because the only thing we say is cut taxes. We don't really say why.
Not only do we say cut taxes means nothing to me when I look at my tax plan as my savings plan, and I get more money in my tax plan than I put in.
A lot of times, if you're poor.
That's what I'm saying.
If you're working poor, you get more.
I'm not asking for a hand up. I'm not asking for a hand out. But people do need a hand up. And you can't ask me to play in a system that is basically unfair to me based upon my situation. And because you have crippled my parents, and then ask me to not go make a baby and continue on the same hamster wheel.
That's right. We're not doing them any favors by continuing this cycle of dependence. We really aren't.
Tracy.
But we're not. Yes, South Carolina.
Listen, I'm in a serious fight right now with I guess you could call it my daughter-in-law, my future daughter-in-law. They're trying to say that one of my grandsons has ADHD. He doesn't have ADHD. He has a lack of parenting in the house. So, therefore, when he goes to school, he doesn't behave the way he should behave. He doesn't behave the way he should behave. Which, the whole thing can be corrected in the home without any medication. But
that's
I recently found out what her motivation is behind this. If he gets diagnosed with ADHD or LD, he gets a check.
Crazy check.
It's better than, but listen, it's better than child support and welfare. It's unaccountable.
Wow.
My son crazy. I'm going on vacation.
And you can make as much money, there's no restrictions to it. I'll receive a check for the rest of his life, and I got a check coming in until he's 18. And who cares if he learns, because I just need to get a checky check.
Wow.
And with him being that way, he qualifies for everything that comes free.
Well, you're in fourth generation welfare now in some families. I mean, that is their job.
But we have not learned to bring people out of their situation so that they can become productive citizens.
I agree.
And so when I look at expansion, when you talk about single women and single people getting assistance, we need to change the parameters of how we assist. Absolutely. But we need to learn that people do need to have, if I'm drowning, please, you know, give me a raft or something.
Yeah.
Chris had one question. Do we make the guidelines about who gets covered in the state because welfare dollars are controlled by the state?
For Medicaid, we do. Unemployment, I know we voted relatively recently. I think when Craig was there on how many weeks of unemployment we can get in the state too. Is that what you're referring to?
No, I'm referring only to the welfare system.
That I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. Do you know, Craig?
The number of
Craig?
Weeks?
No. Who gets covered? In other words, I'm a young, poor person, and I have a baby. I get pregnant, and I'm going to have a baby. Do I get covered when that baby's born?
What do you mean, as far as your medical?
I don't believe
the mama gets covered. Now, she gets covered while she's pregnant.
No, I think that the baby is covered.
The baby's covered.
Does the state make the rules on how they are covered?
The state does. However, there are for Medicaid, yes, but there's a lot. There are many federal restrictions. I mean, so. The numbers I've heard is for every dollar that the state puts in, the federal government puts in like $2, if you want to average the whole thing out. But to get that money, we are subject to whatever the federal rules are, like round co-pays, for example, or whatever. So our hands are really tied to make many changes at all in that area right now,
okay,
or they have been historically.
Because I have a sure enough... Cure at all situation, and it would save on a whole bunch of stuff going on.
And the numbers, and I want to thank Christina for coming on. It's been great having you.
Oh, wow.
You'll come back and do this again, won't you?
I've enjoyed the conversation. You guys were a lot of fun. I'll come back anytime.
And I've got some. We're going to talk about senior care in a moment. So it's a good segue to this and having
all
people
right.
here.
Well, I will sign out now and wish you all a wonderful day.
If anybody wants to reach you, tell us your website. Tell us where they can find you. Because we reach up that far.
Absolutely. The best way to reach me is through my office, and the phone number is 614-466-1177. So 614-466-1177. And I'd love to hear from anybody.
Listen, I thank you so much. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends. I'm gonna sign off. But I really, Christina, I'm passionate about this because as a single woman with no children. I don't think people really understand that when you're trying to make it and you necessarily don't have the support that you need, if you have no kids, you're screwed. I'm serious.
Yeah,
really? No, you can't because you don't have the resources. You don't meet the requirements.
Yeah.
They want you to go out and make a baby, and then we'll come and care for you. And I don't need you to care for me. I just need you to give me a helping hand to get me over a hurdle so that I can run on my own 2 feet.
They're buying future votes, Tracy. They're not going to do that.
No, we can't have that. And listen, I'm going to take a break.
All right.
Listen, guys who are in the queue, I will 518 and 412, I'll pick you up on the other side of my break. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I want to thank our Representative Chris Rogner from the 37th District of Ohio, and we will be right back.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Dave Packer. A threatening letter sent to the president following the one sent to New York's mayor. ABC's Aaron Kutursky with more.
The Secret Service says the White House mail screening facility intercepted a letter intended for President Obama that's similar to letters addressed to Mayor Bloomberg and his gun control lobbyist. Those letters, postmarked in Shreveport, Louisiana, contain traces of ricin and threats related to the national debate over gun control. Police and the FBI are now investigating, and postal inspectors are looking out for any additional suspicious letters.
It's called the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS. It's a new deadly spinoff of the coronavirus, and ABC News Chief Health and Medical Editor Dr. Richard Besser says there's no known treatment.
This MERS virus first appeared about a year ago in the Middle East, in the Arabian Peninsula. Most of the cases have occurred in Saudi Arabia, some in North Africa, and there have been some in Europe, in the United Kingdom, in France. All of the cases have either traveled to the Middle East or have been exposed to somebody in very close quarters who traveled to that area.
And some research from a team in Vermont analyzed 10 million geotagged tweets looking for happy terms like laughter, love, smile, and happy. Also look for words like terrorist, ugly, and die. The happy people in Napa, California. The saddest tweets were in Beaumont along the Texas coast. One researcher says the places with the dark tweets tend to have a tougher economy and more natural disasters.
Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier.
Clarence Burke Jr., lead singer of the group The Five Stair Steps, has died. The group made up of his brothers and sisters. They were called the First Family of Soul. Their biggest hit, 1970's Ooh, Child. Burke was 64. And there's now another Democratic governor. Rhode Island's Governor Lincoln Chafee has announced that he's switching from independent to Democrat. This is ABC News.
Jay Farner here with Quicken Loans. Here are two simple words that should make you reconsider waiting to buy a home. Buying power. Let's say you can afford a monthly mortgage payment, including principal and interest, of around $1,350. With today's rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage of 3.5%, APR 3.65%, that payment could support a $300,000 mortgage. But if you wait and rates tick up to around 6%, that same $1,350 mortgage payment, including principal and interest, may only be able to support a $225,000 mortgage. That's $75,000 worth of home that you're missing out on by waiting. That's buying power. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Give Quicken Loans a call today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com and maximize your buying power.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Payment example excludes taxes and insurance calls. For cost information, equal housing lender, license in all 50 states, NMLS number 3030.
The Arizona mom accused of smuggling drugs on a Mexican bus says it has been a nightmare. She's waiting to find out if a judge will let her go or if she'll face a trial and potentially years in prison. ABC's Scott Goldberg reports.
I was in shock.
Yanira Maldonado sits in a Mexican jail where she says at first she thought someone was playing a joke on her.
But I realized that it is real.
She's now gone through two long days of court hearings with witnesses telling a judge the Arizona mom and mother of seven did not smuggle 12 pounds of marijuana onto a bus.
This is a nightmare.
Now Maldonado needs the judge to agree there's not enough evidence to put her on trial.
I'm not guilty. I don't have nothing to hide.
Her lawyers say a decision should come by the end of the week. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
McDonald's CEO Don Thompson said at an analyst conference this week that he shed about 20 pounds in the past year by working out again, but still.
Avoid the rush and listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community. Get talking to Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love. Charlie Staples barbecue sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a couple of.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
330-781-9600, 1-800-530-WSOM, or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Boy, do I have a full house today. Everything's just working out just fine. And I am just so excited. I've got great people here, and I've got some new friends in. I want to thank Christina Rogner, and I want to pick up the call before I go into the next topic. 518, your mic is on. No, it's not. 518?
You hear me, Trace?
Yeah, I can. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, hey, I was just listening. I know you're getting ready to change gears, but I think when you're talking about the welfare system and what happens with the single-parent moms mostly and then some single-parent fathers, and now, Tracy, even the single man or woman, which includes you, I think there's a huge dynamic that you talked about yesterday that's broken two things. The family, that's been broken. And I doubt very seriously that will be repaired to what we remember, what we know. Two, the other thing that is broken that I don't think people are really paying much attention to is they're constantly raising your cost of living. And if your cost of living is going up, it for a single woman, if it's hard for you to be a single woman and do the things that you want to do, it's also harder for the man and the woman that get married and they want to do things the quote unquote right way. It's hard for them to do that. It's hard for them to raise a child without help, especially if they didn't go to school and get the degree and come out with.
Hey Rick, I'm gonna stop right there because I got to get over and I got a couple more calls to answer and then we'll bring this back up tomorrow. Because where you're going is really, really good, and it's a good conversation. And that's a good topic because we need to finish this because it is true. But we need to – you can't deal with – because that's how we go into senior care. We need to understand if you can't plan for your present, it's kind of hard to plan for your future. And if you don't plan for your future, senior care is very, very difficult. And we're going to talk about that because you need to know – you need to prepare for where you're going, because we're all going to get old, and you never know where you're going to end up in a skilled nursing facility. And you need to know how to prepare for it so that you're ready to navigate into whatever situation that comes your way. And if you can't take care of the now, you can't take care of the future. And if we don't come off the government toll to where we can handle things, then we're going to just be in trouble. Hold on just a second. Well, 440, your mic is on.
Yes, even the senior care. And this all seems like it's you want somebody to pay for someone else's mistakes, and I just don't agree with it. You make the mistakes. It's not my job to pay for somebody's mistakes. I'm sorry. It's not that way.
That's not what we're saying. We're already paying. We're paying for people's life, and we need to get them to where the mistakes that they make. They have a way to come out of it. I mean, it's just like
why
incarceration.
Should I pay for it?
Listen to what I'm saying. Incarceration. People get incarcerated for things that they may or may not need to be incarcerated for. And when I say that, they need to be rehabilitated for. They may need to be punished for. But when they come out, they need to become productive citizens. They don't need to go to a four-year college of criminology to come out, to go back in. We spend more money on incarcerating them, and they're no longer producing for the system. So we're still taking care of people that we don't need to take care of. But I will bring this back up tomorrow. I promise you we'll bring this back up tomorrow because I want to get to senior care. Because senior care is whether you're paying for it or whether you got Medicaid, we still need to talk about it.
That's a self-righteous statement.
Rick,
help.
I said
regardless
tomorrow.
Regardless whether or not you
Rick,
think you're the one
Rick,
that's paying for it or not.
Everybody
needs help.
Tomorrow. Do you understand?
Right.
Tomorrow's open mic Friday. We're going there, I promise you. Look, I want to introduce my people.
I got Annette Denby and Rhonda Haynes, and they are from Danvers and Burlington Manor Nursing Facility or Skilled Nursing Care over on the east side of Youngstown, and they are friends of mine. I go there and I teach a Bible study. I've been doing it for a number of years, and I have had, and they are going to be coming on every month talking to us about senior care because you need to prepare and plan for senior care. So hello, women. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. Talking to the head of the mic. And this is an easy conversation. I won't bite your head off just yet. So how you doing today?
I am doing great. I'm glad that you had us here.
I'm glad to have you here. Tell us a little bit about Annette. I know. Come on, girl. You.
I was just a little throwback from the last call, but I got your back, Tracy. Yeah, we're here to talk about senior care.
But tell me, senior care, rehabilitation, you know, you never know when you and I have a friend who was doing very well, and he fell down 13 stairs of cement steps, broke both his legs, and he was working, but he's not working any longer, and he is now 50 years old in a skilled nursing facility trying to get rehabilitation so that he can possibly become a productive citizen again.
And I want to just step in, Tracy, and say that senior care really isn't traditional senior care anymore. There are definitely individuals in nursing home skilled care facilities that range from late teens on up. We have some 40-year-olds in the nursing home, and I often tell people, any of us, we're one car accident away from being in a nursing home or a skilled nursing facility. So we see
It's not what we think skilled nursing is anymore. We used to think of it as an old folks home, but that's not what it is any longer.
Not anymore.
So how do I prepare? What do I do? I mean, Mark, you're here. You're the attorney. Annette and Rhonda, tell me, what do I do as a 40-year-old who doesn't think that I will ever make it to a skilled nursing facility? What do I do? Because, you know, they always ask me to AFLAC and be that and buy stuff, and I'm like, I don't need that. I'm not going. What?
Well, you definitely want to look into, you know, different facilities. You know, it's just like you have to get information because you don't know where you'll be later on today. So it's a possibility, especially if you're taking care of your loved ones, a parent that you may not be able to take care of for a long period of time. You want to ensure that they have safety, so you want to definitely go to different facilities. You have to prepare your heart, your mind, your spirit, because it is a choice that you would have to make.
I just wanted to add, like you said, for yourself, I'm a young woman. You're a young woman, and you don't think about those things.
No.
We don't want to think about it. But I do believe that it's a conversation and a moment where people do need to open up their minds and understand that it could quite possibly happen to them. I have a dad in his 70s. He still doesn't want to believe that it could happen to him. But I do think it's something we need to think about, and I'm sure our attorney have more to say on it. But I do know that they do have long-term care insurance. A lot of people don't want
about it.
I think
it's $40 a month.
I think you should think about it.
$40 a month. It depends on what age you buy it.
Yeah.
I mean, if
you get the $40 a month, that's pretty good.
I mean, if you buy it in your 20s or 30s, it's $40 a month. You got to keep it until you make it there.
Yeah.
But it's something that I don't need, but I don't pay attention to. But if I really think about it, you really need to think about it.
It's just like you not wanting to pay for your funeral arrangements at 25. I mean, that's just the reality. And you just don't want to ever believe that you may need skilled nursing care or someone taking care of you or having Alzheimer's or dementia. We don't want to see ourselves that way. So it's hard to mentally get ourselves to the point where we can be open about preparing for it.
I was having this conversation with some folks the other day. You know, people say that death is the great equalizer. Let me tell you, it's not death. Nursing homes are the great equalizer. And, you know, these are places with very dedicated staffs that work very hard under very difficult circumstances with lots of financial constraints. And I wish I could say they're great and wonderful. But it's just the reality is, you know, it's a difficult environment across the board. And it's not that anybody is malevolent or doing bad stuff. It's just that it's very expensive. And you got to make your plans.
Why is, you know, I see somebody writing in the chat room right now, and you can't pay attention because they're crazy as a red bug, but they make, but it's a pretty good question. Why is skilled nursing so costly? Because, you know, when you look at $5,500 a month, something like that, something crazy, why is it so costly?
And where you
for a bed? I mean, I can go stay at the Ritz-Carlton for less than that. So
absolutely.
Why?
You're really paying for skilled nursing care around the clock, 24-hour care. You have registered nurses, you have LPNs, and you have a whole slew of staff that runs a nursing rehab center. And let's not forget about therapy. I mean, you get room and board, and it's the skilled nursing.
Now, does my medication come into that? And my
absolutely.
When I come in, you know, no matter what medication I'm on, is that included in my
absolutely. Yes, it is. Some medications we look a little closer at than others, but it is included.
We'll give you a Tylenol or two.
Give me a Tylenol or two. Everything is included in that number, so actually it's almost like an average.
It's an inclusive.
So
room and board. You don't have to pay your bills. You don't have to cut your own grass, you know. It's something that, you know, it costs.
It costs.
Yeah. Well, they have to maintain a certain ratio of employees to residents. And it's not cheap. I mean, nursing homes are not some place people go when they're well. They go there when they're very, very sick. And you're going to have diapers changed, bedpans changed. You know, they have to get clean. They got to get dressed. They got to make sure the people are fed. Many of these people just aren't capable of doing it themselves. And it's 24-hour care for the most basic necessities. I mean, to get into the higher end of these things where you have to maintain a breathing machine to make sure your medication is given when it's supposed to be, it is a major undertaking. And the wonder is that it doesn't cost more.
And not to mention the activities that's provided, you know. Just because you're in a nursing home doesn't mean that you're in a funeral home. So we allow them to function at their highest level and meet their every need as best as we can.
You also have to remember there's nursing homes, so there's assisted living facilities, and they're different. Assisted living facilities, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, ladies, maybe in the $3,000 a month range, $2,500 a month range.
It depends on where it is.
Where it is.
They even have Medicaid waivers for those who don't have.
And these folks, and it's been, when I started working with seniors, you know, years ago, you went into an assisted living facility, and the minute, you know, you sneezed and went the other way into the nursing home you went. They don't do that now. They try to keep the resident there as long as they possibly can. And many of these facilities now have, you know, you go in this way, you come out the other way. I'm thinking of two where you start with, you know, free living condominium sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go into assisted living. Then you go into the critical care facility, and then you visit the Lord.
I want to say the Dandridge Nursing Home is now a Dandridge Burgundy Manor, should I say. They are now one of our partners here at Tracy and Friends. And I will say this, and I endorse them, and I don't bring anyone on here that I do not endorse. So if I would not put my own family members, and I do have family members there, I've tried to get them all in the same facility, but y'all wouldn't act right. But I don't bring anyone in that I would not put my mom in. And it is a very, very clean, high-functioning facility for rehab and skilled nursing. And when I say that, I've walked in many, many places, and the cleanliness, and I because I go there every week, it's very, very difficult to deal with all of the issues of all of the residents mm-hmm. at the same time. I mean, you're looking at, you know, people who pull their diapers off and go down the hall carrying it and trying to chase them down the hall in the wheelchair as you're trying to handle someone else pulling off the diaper and going up against the wall. I mean, it just happens. Whether you like it or not, it's a skilled nursing and you don't realize that, you know, as people become older, they become children again in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Because of their mental condition. And they keep a clean facility, so I don't have to smell feces and urine on my way in to visit my aunt, who's in the other side of the building.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I have to say, but I've been in some that I told them, if you don't come out, I'm not coming to you.
And I just want to also add,
it's the truth.
I can say that I've been in this business a long time, and the first time I stepped in Damridge's Burgundy Manor, I had the same experience. I was pleasantly surprised that there was not a stench in the facility. I also want to mention that, you know, we're saying nursing home, but skilled nursing facility is for any individual who may need therapy. If you're in a car accident, take a fall, you know, have knee or hip surgery, and you need some therapy for a few weeks, a month, it is also a place you can go for short term and get all those needs met and go home. You know, it doesn't have to.
Of course, we have people that go home and come back just to visit because they have up there.
No, they have good. They have pretty good food there. Yes, South Carolina.
And Tracy, I am a CNA. My certification has lapsed, but I can still go back and get it. But because I manage an independent living senior complex, I do see a lot of my seniors, or not a lot of them, over the last 16 years have gone into the nursing home because they may have had a fall or had an incident where their health caused them to go into the hospital and then they had to go to rehab. They've gone to what we call the swing bed and stayed, you know, maybe 30 days and 15 days in rehab and then another 15 days at a nursing facility, and then they come back to live independently. But they have a very, they serve a very good purpose. I just hate that, and I've seen this quite a bit, where individuals go into those facilities and they don't get the type of visitation that they would normally get if they were living independently. And that can be a very sad situation.
And you're right about that. And at our facility, I can only speak about our facility, we do have probably maybe a few that family do not visit them, but we become their family. It's family-oriented, and we become their family. We care about them like we do our own. And as Tracy was saying, she has been there. And, I can tell you anything. I can tell you that I'm blonde and I have blue eyes. Would you believe that? But my thing is just to come to the facility and see it for yourself.
Now, let me ask you this. When do I, because, you know, putting parents I want to go there, but, you know, choosing a facility, you know, you don't go visit a facility unless you have to. Mm-hmm. You don't go to a skilled nursing. I mean, you go in the hospital and you have a back surgery or you have foot surgery, you get in a car accident, and the social worker comes in with her little pad, and she asks you, well, where do you want to go? Here's a list. And you're like, huh? And you haven't gone to see anything. You have no idea. So you know that, you know, Nana, 20 years ago, this is where she went. So you pick Nana, and they actually help you with the list, and it may or may not be in your best interest. Or you ask them about geographically, and they ask the kids, okay, well, this is closer to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, okay, we'll put Nana in here, and it's like, oh no! And I promise you, if you don't go and visit them,
absolutely,
you need to go and check them out and put them on their list and get a reference from a good source, because if you put your loved one in the wrong one, it is a complete, utter nightmare on Wall Street for the people who are not in the facility.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I don't care how pretty the foyer is.
Absolutely.
That's what I was going to say.
I want to follow up on that about how pretty the foyer is. When my mother-in-law went into a nursing home, she went into probably, at least physically, the nicest one there was around. She's from the Ashland area. It was a disaster. I don't care if they have a fireplace. I want to know, you know, are they going to take care of me? And conversely, there's a number of nursing homes here in town that look like hospitals, but the care is outstanding. They're absolutely, totally, 100% clean. And I would prefer to go to one of those than one that has a nice chair.
They got a nice chair. And that's true.
And I do encourage the listeners to come and see.
Can they just come and see and take a visit?
Absolutely. You should be able to go to any facility at any time. I do encourage that, like, for instance, you are a family member and you were given a list of nursing homes from a social worker, that you do go unannounced. The best time to see how a facility really operates, it's probably unexpected. See, are they open to take you on a tour right then? And I always tell people, go with all of your senses. You know, what do you see? What do you smell? What do you hear? And they, you can even ask to taste the food. But those things matter.
And you know what thing they can do, Tracy, and I'm going to give a big plug for this right now. Go to your church and go visit folks in the nursing homes. Go. You help them. You get a feel for how these nursing facilities work. You get an idea as to care and whatnot. And you get a free. And you know what? You're going to do a world of good for somebody who's there and probably could use a visitor and a good word.
And it does make a difference. I know that, you know, like I said, I've been around for a number of years going to many nursing homes because I go out and visit. But when I go into Dandridge Burgundy Manor, I find it to be they know everyone's name. The turnover is very limited in your key staffing. You know, sometimes you get, you know, an administrator or something that leaves and turns and people move up and go around. But as far as the doctors have been there, so they know their patients and they become their physician. They know what's going on. And, you know, you see people come and you see people go and you want to pay attention to that. And I'm going to take a break. And when I come back, I'm going to ask about, you know, qualifying to go in because, as we said, you know, skilled nursing is costly. Sometimes you just can't go home. No matter how much money you think you have or how much money you do not have, you will not be going home right now. You just can't. And as you said, I'm only one car accident. It does. If you're not going to the morgue and you're not going home, it's a high possibility you got to go to a rehab.
Absolutely.
And you need to be mindful of how this works. Because if you have to stay too long, it can upset your whole apple cart. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600.
Prostate problems are no laughing matter. The older you get, the more likely you'll have prostate problems, which can affect sleep and intimacy. The Prostate Formula from Real Health Labs has been helping men support normal prostate function and free urinary flow for years. Go to prostateformula.com. That's prostateformula.com to receive a special offer. Look for the blue and white box at supercenters, drugstores, and leading retailers everywhere.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, Ford offers seven models with an EPA estimated rating of 40 miles per gallon highway or better. Get 0% financing for 60 months on best-selling models.
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk in, welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
The Valley's Medical Guide is now available at a Walgreens near you in Mahoning, Trumbull, Mercer, Lawrence, and Columbiana counties. This medical guide is packed with useful health tips and a local physician's listing. Enter to win a $500 American Express card. Pick up your free copy at a local participating Walgreens pharmacy. Stop by a Walgreens near you in Mahoning, Trumbull, Lawrence, Mercer, and Columbiana counties. Plus, a chance to win a $500 American Express card. Now at Walgreens, accepting most Express Scripts plans.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, feel the power behind the available EcoBoost engine in the 2013 Ford Escape. Now you can lease a new fuel-efficient Escape for just $199 a month. Visit driveoneohio.com.
If you have a parent entering a nursing home, are the executor of an estate, or just need a will, this message is for you. The Law Office of J.M. Shade is able to help you make the right choices to ensure that you and your family are protected. Call us toll-free, 866-606-6187. Again, 866-606-6187. Or see our site for more information at jmselderlaw.com. jmselderlaw.com. Estate planning made simple.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229. Or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyAndFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I want to thank Rhonda. Rhonda Haynes and Annette Dendy for coming in. They're from Dandridge's Burgundy Manor, which is a skilled nursing and rehab facility located on the east side of Youngstown. And if you want to call them, you can reach them at 330-746-5157. And you can actually just go and, you know, get tours and, you know, go out and visit and hang out and see what it's there and see their facility. I promise you, I will not steer you wrong when it comes to senior health and taking care of your loved ones, because it's too important.
Absolutely.
It's too important, and you need to, you know, the cost of it. You have, when you go from, you know, going from the hospital, usually into a skilled nursing facility as a senior person. I'm going to talk about seniors today. When they come back on again, we may talk about, you know, other areas of rehab. But let's talk about seniors, because that tends right now. We are baby boomers, and those of us born in 64, which is the end of the baby boomers, our parents are now pushing 70, 80, and we're making decisions on their senior care. And so you need to be mindful of what skilled nursing facilities are out there and who's going to give your loved one the best quality of care when you can't be there.
I wanted to say this. Before I became an administrator, I was a social worker. And oftentimes, families didn't understand, or like you said, the children, you know, how does all of this work? It is, is very complicated to understand the insurances, co-pays, Part A, Part B, this, that, what, you know, how much of the medication is covered. And imagine if you as your the child is not helping this 70, 80, 90-year-old person make these decisions. Oftentimes the letter comes, pick an insurance company. It gets shuffled to the side, and before you know it, they don't have insurance.
No clue.
Absolutely.
I mean, that Part B, and you only have a window that you can pick the A, B, C, or D, E, F, G. And I'm serious, and I try to help my mom with hers. And even if it's a supplement, it's so colluded and confusing, I have no clue. And then you go to an insurance person and you ask them, and they don't know any more than you do. Not when it comes to the practices. And the majority of your seniors are a part of A, B, C, or D in Medicare because they have to be.
Right.
Because your primary insurance kicks you off as soon as you turn 65.
Yeah.
They gladly say, listen, we'll give you a supplement, but we will not cover you any longer.
Yeah.
And there's some costly medications.
Yeah.
Tracy.
And how do I pay for this? I mean, what do I do? Because let me say this. I've watched people lose their homes. You know, there's some people, and, you know, I don't know how the process works. But people, you know, they go in and they're not coming home anytime soon, and they didn't prepare, they didn't plan, so their home that they've had for 70 years that they thought they were going to leave the grandkids and stuff, they tell them, I'm sorry, but you no longer can own that home because after 20 some days, you're either going on one way or another.
Yeah, because to qualify for Medicaid, you only can have so many.
Yeah.
Assets, that's the word. You can only have so many assets. And I will say this because it is a struggle for some families, especially when you have assets and you have children. And we often have to have that conversation because people don't want to give up something that they had for so many years. But I always tell them you have to pay to live somewhere.
Right.
And we've often had people come into the nursing facility and find out that they have to stay long-term, and they just don't want to, you know, make that transition. And it's a tough decision. But I always tell them you have to pay somewhere. And, you know, under Medicaid, the government does pay a lot of your stay, but they expect you to, you know, you can't have a house in the community and still paying bills in the community and expect to live in a nursing home.
That's right. Yeah, because they will. If you had to pay what Medicaid would pay, you couldn't afford to be in a nursing home.
No.
So they actually pay the majority. So what we're asking may be a lot to them, but actually it's just a drop in a bucket of the cost for them to be at the facilities.
My experience has been, and when the clients come into my office to deal with these issues, you start with the premise that if you're very poor or very rich, you don't have to worry.
Okay.
And I think I'm pretty safe in saying that.
Yep.
The big issue is when you have assets from anywhere from about $50,000 up to about $200,000 or $300,000, you've got a problem. Because at $5,000 or $6,000 a month, that stuff's going to get eaten up real fast, and so you deal with lower middle class folks have got to. Think about the rich have to do Medicaid planning. They don't have to do Medicaid planning. They can pretty much afford it. It's the middle class that has to look at doing Medicaid planning and making sure that they can do things. You can't do it the day you go into the nursing home. You got to get out about 5 to 10 years beforehand to understand how things work.
And you need to go see a lawyer.
And you need to get a lawyer that has a good understanding of elder care and Medicaid planning.
And it's funny. My father, he owns a home. He owns a few homes. He was a landlord a lot of his life, and he has a lot of land. And I'm in the business and have had discussions with him about, you know, moving around his assets. Moving around his assets so that he could or the family could keep them. And I just had this conversation with him this past fall because I told him, you're running out of time. I mean, now my dad, I believe, is 78, yes.
He better do something.
Yeah, but I'm of the realization as a child that whatever we have to give up to take care of my dad
is worth it.
That's right.
But the problem is, listen to this. This is the problem. Our system moves you to indigence so that you always start at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Inheritance tax removes you back to indebtedness. Our system does not want you to have, you know, perpetuary wealth or sustainability. They don't want you to build from the last generation. They want everybody to start from the ground level.
Yeah.
And because if you live long enough and if things are where they are, and most people are not the uber rich, nor are they above the $250,000 threshold.
I am.
I know you are, but I'm working on it.
I'm speaking it to my own life.
But those of us who are at the, you know, the middle of the road,
mm-hmm,
lose the greatest amount.
Absolutely.
And we need to have a future in view. South Carolina, go ahead. You were going to say something.
Oh, yeah. There's a, what I run into here is a two-year rule that you couldn't have disposed of any asset for less than
5 years.
Five
here.
Five here.
In South Carolina, it's five here.
Wow.
And so you need to know, you can't, don't move. You know, you can't, and you don't move. You got to move it now, and don't move. And we just talking in code now. Y'all figure it out.
Now you got to watch that. We have a policymaker sitting in our midst over here.
Yeah, policymaker, you were a part of this. But let me ask this: when do we, going back to even the conversation that we had in the last hour, going back to common sense policy? Because some things, you know, again, if when my dad was ill a couple years ago, he was adamant about not wanting to go into a skilled nursing facility. Ooh, what gray hair he could give you. And he died because he would not leave.
I remember.
And I tried to get him 24, or getting passport would give him, mm-hmm, assistance. Well, he was $300 more than the passport threshold. But if you deduct the copay of the prescription, it didn't help him out any. And
right.
I'm really trying to say, hey, y'all need to change this to where it's cheaper for you to keep him at home, let the nurse come in for the $300 so he can live longer, but he's going to die because he won't leave,
mm-hmm,
and I can't go, and the skilled nursing is going to take everything he owns, and he's not going to go for that. How do we begin to change the mindset of our policymakers to have common sense? Yeah.
Can I say something?
Sure, you can say anything you want.
Because, you know me, Tracy, the light bulb went off and you were talking. One of the things with Barack Obama's Affordable Care Act, the one thing that was in it that I liked,
okay,
that I liked, was that it provided for the availability of long-term care coverage, which right now is very, very expensive to get. And you know what? That's the first thing they threw out of it after it was passed. I was absolutely floored that they did that, because here is something that we need desperately to get people in the habit of buying this insurance, to make sure you're covered over here at an affordable rate. And they threw it out.
And if you
I can't believe that.
If you really look at it, you know, we need to really understand that because of the longevity of life now that we have,
mm-hmm,
the majority of us will not die in our home or in a hospital, because the hospital only keeps you until you open your eyes, and then they kick you up somewhere.
And it's funny, you know, how they say, you know, there's a lot of insurances that we pay for that are, expensive. Well, I don't expect, my house to catch on fire. But in the case it does, at that point you're happy you have it. No one expects to go in a nursing home, but statistically you may end up there, and it's better to have it.
It's more difficult to buy long-term care insurance than it is to buy life insurance.
Yes.
Correct.
It's horrible, and that needs to be addressed.
I agree with you.
And they threw it out. I thought the one redeemable thing in that entire package, they threw it out.
You know, I hate to say it, I don't believe our country covet our elderly and our seniors
as they should.
As they should.
That's right.
I don't even think we as people understand the wealth of the wealth that we have in seniors.
Yeah, that's right. The wisdom.
We have computers. They have knowledge.
That's right. That's right.
Isn't that amazing?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My uncle is going to be 101 in August, and he just moved into a nursing home in November. God bless him. He lives up in Michigan, but until that time, you know, he used to come to Youngstown once a month to visit his money and to go get a steak and a scotch. And he was great. And then and he was, you know, getting a little bit of dementia, and he knew it. And he said, I don't know who you are, but I'm hungry. Let's go get a steak. And it was great. My aunt lived to be 103 or 104.
And that's what I'm saying. If you...
But she lived comatose for almost 14 years.
Wow.
What kind of quality of life
not
was that?
She
existed.
She just
right.
existed.
But she had to be somewhere.
She had
Absolutely.
To be somewhere.
And somebody
Absolutely.
Had to pay for her to
yeah.
be somewhere.
And the state of Ohio did.
And the question is, how do we prepare? Because as we look, as we tax, we're always talking about politics here.
Yeah.
And we're always talking about budgets. And we're always talking about money here. And we're always talking about those kinds of things in the economy. Well, how can we make a better quality of life for those who are here if we don't prepare, whether it be legislatively and or independently, for elder and independent and senior care and dependent care?
Yeah.
Because you never know when you're going to be dependent upon someone,
That's
even
right.
for a short period of time.
That's right.
And I really want you guys to understand that Dandridge is going to come on with us at least once a month, and we're going to be breaking open issues of skilled nursing, rehabilitation, and elder care. Because it is important, whether we like it or not, the
That's
majority
right.
of us are going to hit a skilled nursing facility. And I would that you would go out and check out Dandridge.
Yes, please.
But if you
do.
Don't check out Dandridge, you need to go check out something.
Absolutely.
But please, whatever you do, don't wait until you need one to go check one, because you will find a nightmare on Elm Street if you wait until you need it. I put my mom into a rehab. For a month, and it was the longest 30 days. I had to take her lunch and dinner every day. She was not supposed to go to the bathroom by herself, but if she didn't go to the bathroom by herself, she would not have gone to the bathroom. The plumbing was not fixed. She couldn't take a shower in her own room. I don't know. They had a fireplace, Mark.
Yeah, and a chair.
We don't have a fireplace.
But if you got working plumbing, I go with you guys.
What insurances do you guys take? Do you take them all now? Do we take all the insurances now?
We take pretty much. We don't take Blue Cross or Blue Shield. There's a few that we don't take.
We got to work on
but
that.
Yeah, but don't you know what? Don't not call us, you know, to see what we don't take. Just come out and see us.
Just come out and see it.
Come out and see it.
And we're constantly adding insurance.
Absolutely.
Now, Dandridge Burgundy Manor is now a part of Legacy Health Services. You want to talk
yes.
a little bit about that? Who is Legacy?
Legacy Health Services is based out of Parma, Ohio. And I travel every day to Youngstown from Cleveland.
Thank you.
That's a little closer to my stomping ground. But Legacy owns, I want to say
11
facilities in the Cleveland area, but there is one out here in Youngstown, Dandridge, and there is a facility also in Toledo. But basically, they're all in
okay.
the Cleveland area.
And
but it's a great
company. What is Legacy
company.
Known for? I've got the chance to meet the owners of Legacy, but tell me a little about the mindset of the corporation.
Well, I'll say this. I've worked for many corporations, and I won't name them. I am very honored to work for a company in which whatever you need, it's not a question.
Absolutely.
If it
not.
Comes to the residents. I mean, you know, things like Hoyer lifts, Broda chairs. I mean, there's so much equipment that the facility or the company has to pay for, and I have never had an experience where it was like, we don't know, let us think about it. Anything that they can do for the resident, Legacy Health Services is more than happy to put that investment in their residents, in their facilities. And also, as an employee, they actually care about the employees and want you to have a, you know, work-life balance, because they know if we are happy as employees, we take that happiness to the elderly that we care for. So I can't say enough about Legacy. I'm glad that I'm a part of their company at this point.
Yeah, Legacy is, you know, Dandridge was there over 50 years. You know, Legacy is now the owner, and they are doing a wonderful job. And we are blessed to have the best administrator, the most sought out after administrator that there is. And I'm not just saying it because she's here. I'm saying it because it's the truth. She's not untouchable. You can talk to her. The family knows her. The residents know her. You know, staff can talk to her. And that says a lot when you can depend on your head, not to just be so above that they don't. She will not ask you to do anything she doesn't do for herself, and she cares about our residents. That's a big plus.
Let me put it to you this way, and I'll tell you what I find fascinating about Bandridge Burgundy Manor. There are a lot of places that I've been in and out of here locally,
mm-hmm.
and they're administrators, and you know who they are by how they look,
mm-hmm.
and you know who they are by how they act as they walk through the hall,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, they come in and they wave at you.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had the opportunity to watch the administrative staff at this facility actually move chairs,
mm-hmm.
move carts,
mm-hmm.
move people. I walked in one afternoon and found some people doing nails. I see them doing hair. I see them treating the residents how the residents want to be treated. There are some residents that want to be left alone, put me in my room, leave me alone, and I'm fine. But there are other people that are a little needy. And they try to accommodate the individuals based upon their own personality,
mm-hmm.
including the administrative body there,
mm-hmm.
which says something to the staff, because whatever the leadership is leading and doing, it is not bossing and telling.
Absolutely.
And the reason why I asked Dandridge to be one of our partners is because I believe in the care that they give to the people that are there. Because when you're most vulnerable when you're in type of a skilled nursing facility, you just are.
Mm-hmm.
Your whole world has now gone from I'm on my own, I do my own thing, to I need someone to help me wipe my own behind.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a difference.
Right.
And you want to have your parents, you want to have your loved ones, you want to have your husband, you want to have them somewhere who they're going to care about how they wore their hair.
That's right.
You can't do it.
And I believe in the power of touch, the healing of touch. As the administrator, I mean, we hug everybody, we kiss our residents, because I do believe in the power of touch. I do believe that you never get old to need to feel loved and hugged, and
needed
exactly.
Because sometimes when you're there, you don't feel as though you're useless now because of. I'm stuck.
Yep.
And needless to say, Tracy comes faithfully, and when Tracy is not there, they know it. Trust me. They feel when Tracy is not there. And Tracy would tell me, I won't be there. I'm like, don't tell them. We're going to have to wing it, but God, and I thank God for that.
I try. It's a calling.
Mm-hmm.
I come there. I teach my Bible study there, and it is a privilege and an honor to be there. Because people need it's not like they're getting dressed and going to church on Sundays anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you need consistency and continuity in your spiritual walk if you choose to take part of it.
That's right.
And then if they call you to come back and if they need you,
or
whatever the cost, and care.
Right.
And so I want to say thank you guys for coming on and hanging out with me.
It's been a pleasure.
You can, they're located at 31 Maranatha Drive on the east side off of Jacobs Road. The phone number, if you want to call them, you can. The number is 330-746-5157. And they would love to hear from you, I'm quite sure. They'll be back again, and we're going to continue this conversation. And we're going to delve. I wanted to introduce them today. But each month we're going to dig deeper, at least for an hour, of whether it be rehab, whether it be getting it paid. We'll even try to find some people from the state to come on and talk about how this works.
Absolutely.
Why do you take all my money from my grandma
right.
and only give her $40?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I want you people to talk about spend down.
Right.
Because a lot of people are getting taken advantage of on the spend downs inside mm-hmm. of the facilities because you can't have it so much. And you don't understand when money sits and you don't spend, it accrues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they get clothes that they don't wear and they get put in a closet because you got a spend down when there's other things that you could be doing for your loved ones.
Absolutely.
Like funeral arrangements.
Yeah.
Yes.
I always encourage
and
that.
Yes, and you can, there's insurance that you can take.
I mean, there's
exactly.
There's all sorts of stuff you can do.
Really?
Yeah.
See, we don't know that. And so I get people selling people old clothes from Goodwill in some facilities that are around. And I'm just
right,
being honest.
Right.
For
right.
a spend down so that you can stay eligible for
your
the money
right.
you get.
Exactly. But also, when you want to look for a facility that you can go to that you will have peace of mind when you're gone. You don't want to put somebody in and have to worry about what's going on. You want to be able to trust the people there and the ones that's taking care of your loved one. So you will not find Tracy no other place but Dan Ridge. So if you need a place, that's where you need to bring them.
Hey, don't be calling me out like that. Hey, listen, I want to thank you guys. I want to thank Representative Rogner. I want to thank Craig. I'm glad you came. Will you come back and hang out with me again?
Oh, love to.
He's a man of few words. Very talkative.
Yeah.
Well, get him going. You know.
You gotta
Yeah, you
got to
give me the right
subject. Hey, Rick, you got any comments? Are you just listening in still? They just listening, okay. And I want to thank South Carolina and Jeff for pensioning for me this earlier today. Tomorrow is open mic. We'll go back to the conversation about what I was saying because there is a difference between a hand out and a hand up, and I think a lot of people need to understand that. If you give me a hand up, then I don't need a hand out. But if you don't give me a hand up, eventually you'll have to give me a hand out.
But if I have my hand out, eventually it'll go up.
There you go. And not only that, we also need to understand that people, we need to plan in our youth for our seniors, for
Absolutely.
Us. I'm getting older. Whether it be life insurance, whether it be health insurance, whether it be long extended term insurance, we need to figure out how to become independent of the government system.
Absolutely.
You cannot depend on the government to take care of you when the government is broke and think you're going to get a good quality of care. Eventually, somebody's got to pay the piper.
Absolutely.
And if we, I don't think, I always say, I don't think Social Security is going to be around when I hit when I get there. And if it does, it's going to be, I'll be 85. They're going to be like, you got to wait. Excuse me.
You work till you're 85.
I don't think I'm going to get any. So I need Medicare. When we have Affordable Health Care Act, and I see that, you know, tomorrow we'll talk about the Cadillac plan and how they want to penalize corporations who have Cadillac plans so that everybody is gray and equalized. Well, I got a problem with me not being able to drive a Cadillac and everybody want to drive a Pinto because I want a private room.
Absolutely.
When I get to my senior care, I want a private room with a view. And if I can't have a private room with a view, don't tell me because we all got to have three beds in a room. And let me also say this. Since I'm on a roll, I've had an opportunity to go visit nursing facilities in other states. And Ohio, whether you like it or love it, we have a great way of caring for people. I went into a nursing facility in a larger state, and it looked like a reformatory for old people.
Mm.
They had six people in a room. They had no windows.
Wow.
It was in a hotel that was rehab, and it went up.
Wow.
It was a tower. They marched them into the room for eating. They marched them out. They didn't have enough staff to take care of the people that were there, and you could tell it was for people who were impoverished.
Wow.
And they were there for senior care, for rehabilitation, and or, you know, skilled nursing. And I think we need to applaud what we do have.
Absolutely.
Even if you don't like it.
Absolutely.
Because what I saw there, I wouldn't leave my dog there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we understand there are a lot of people. And if we're not careful, we're going to end up with institutions like that for seniors. And we're going to be the seniors.
Well,
and I'm going to have an issue with that.
Yeah, I'm like you, Tracy. And not only do I want a private bed, a private room, I want a water bed just in case we short on staff. I can just sit there and go.
I'm getting off. I'm done.
Andrea, I'm older than you. You're going to take care of me. I'm
Absolutely. Me and Alex are going to take care of you. Absolutely. Wait until you get
your... What kind of insurance do you have?
Hey, listen, you've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And listen, we want you to go out and take a visit at Dandridge Burgundy Manor. It is located at 31 Maranatha Drive on Youngstown on the east side off of 422 and Jacobs Road. You can give them a call. The number is 330-746-5157. We'll see you guys tomorrow. God bless and have a good day.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Savin Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce.